What's up, fool?
What's happening, dog?
What's up, fool? Chilling, dog. We're doing a podcast today, man. Me and Rodrigo from my house today because without, man, they kicked us out of the studio.
Laughing too loud, dog.
We're laughing too loud, and I guess we didn't book the studio for the last month. I thought that automatically would be Wednesday at noon. There was a mix-up.
There was a conflict in the scheduling.
A conflict, bro.
A conflict, Rasa. What up?
Conflict of interest. Interest. So right here, man, I have to put the hamster away, man. I don't want him to join the podcast and shit.
All rolling around, dude.
Trying to get a little shout out.
That was always like this, huh?
Yeah, man. I never had pets
in your life.
Never, man. I had a cat one time, and that's it. And then now a hamster, Chuck Norris. She's a female because we couldn't stir little balls for a while.
Too freaky.
Yeah, man. So what's up, fool? We have a guest today, man. It ain't the two of us talking shit about people. Last week, we talked a lot of shit, bro.
Who cares, dog? It was the truth, dog.
It was the truth. You know, the truth. And if you guys want to know who we're talking about, just go to the Beto Duran podcast, Living the Dream. And that's who we were talking about. That's it. Your answers are answered. Your questions are answered. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't even need a Scantron, eh?
Yeah, man. I've cotton mouth right now, man. I just woke up. We're right here with our guest, Joey Medina.
The one and only.
Let me give him a real intro. This guy, man, formerly a boxer, a world champion boxer, formerly a police officer, formerly a self-defense instructor. Remember that video you made?
Yeah, that's right.
Formerly Casanova.
Hell yeah, dog. This is the people on right here, dog.
This guy tell me about wine and feathers.
Man, Felipe remembers everything.
Everything, bro. Yeah. When you showed up, bro, with that Deep Space Nine leather jacket, bro.
Is that a Cabernet?
What's up, fool? We have, man, one of the fucking original Latino kings of comedy,
oh,
man.
Hell yeah, dog.
All the way from the Bronx.
Yep.
And, man, this guy, man, is... You know, man, you know how you grow up, man? You meet people who are like Vietnamese or Filipino or even black or Puerto Rican or Cuban, but they ain't grow up with Mexicans so much that you forget that they're actually Puerto Rican or Cuban or black. Now, this was Mexican, dog. Yeah, man, for a long time, I didn't know that fool was Puerto Rican.
What do you think he was?
I thought he was just Mexican, man.
Oh, okay.
Because that fool said he was a cop in Arizona.
Oh.
He used to box Arizona, and I said, well, he never claimed New York. So again, we claimed him like they claimed Joaquin Phoenix.
There you go.
Mexican
so what's up, fool, man? Bro. How long you known Joey Medina, bro?
Since I started, since 2001, dude.
Yeah,
man.
That fool would be showing up with Paul Rodriguez, dog, in the
hell
Porsche,
yeah,
fool.
Bro.
El Matador days.
Oh, wow, that's right.
Yeah,
El Matador
man. He did that movie, El Matador.
Hell
and
yeah.
I was in it, man.
Oh, that's right. Everybody was in it.
Everybody.
You know what's so funny? Like, at the time, I was so proud of that film, dude. I was so proud of the accomplishment. But I look at it now, I'm like, oh, it's so embarrassing. Like, I don't want to show it to anybody. Because it's just really low budget. Like, really low budget.
But a stepping stone, right?
No, it was a stepping stone because it was actually my film school. Because I never really went to film school. So that was, making that movie was my film school. You know what I mean? And Felipe was in it.
Emilio
was in it. Paul Rodriguez. Gabriel was in there. That's why my feelings got hurt. Because Gabriel was talking about, I forgot what movie he did. I don't know if it was Magic Mike, where he goes, yeah, it was my first movie. And I'm like, whoa, dude. El Matador was your first movie.
Yeah, man.
Look at IMDb. First movie was El Matador.
This fool,
El Matador, man.
You know, I'm going to have to re-release it, make some more money from it.
El Matador, man. A man is nuts.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. It was a silly little movie. Well, you guys seen it. It's
cool,
it.
Dog.
Everybody was
in
it.
Oh, badass movie, bro.
Yeah.
It was all guerrilla style and shit.
Hell super guerrilla style.
I made money off that movie, too. I remember one time you guys were all shooting a scene, and I told your producer, hey, man, I heard you collect toys and comic books.
Mm-hmm.
I got two hefty bags full of Spawn original toys. And that fool wrote me a check for $300.
Are you serious? Cool. Back in the day?
Yeah, nice. Man. I have to split it though, but still.
Okay, dog.
No, I've met some good friends. I met really good people that were on there. Noel G was the first time I met Noel G. He was in there.
Paul Rodriguez was in it.
Paul Rodriguez was in it. He paid for that scene. Like,
hey.
I couldn't afford I couldn't, you know, I couldn't afford anything when I shot that thing, but when I shot his scene, we shot it in a studio. We had a riggers, these guys with the cables and stuff. We had all that stuff, and he paid for all that stuff. So he actually, I was, if you think about it, I should have won a producer award to get actors to pay to be in my own movie. You know?
I know, man. I remember you needed a scene for your restaurant. And I said, wait a minute, I knew somebody who had a restaurant, Noy Gonzalez.
Yeah.
And I called up Noy Gonzalez, hey, man, you want to be in the movie? Yeah, okay, man, we're going to fucking film at your restaurant at 5 in the morning, bro.
All right, bro.
Yeah, that's exactly how he sounds.
Those are our dogs.
Those are my dogs.
Because he was telling me, when I first started hanging out with Felipe, he was telling me that you would, every day you would call him, hey, Felipe, I wrote a page. You know, that's like a minute.
He wrote on a word processor.
Yeah. That's how I first wrote it.
Tight,
in a word processor. And it was, because there was no real computers back then or nothing. But you know, the funny thing was, it was just, originally when I wrote it, I was going to star in it. Like, I wrote it for me to star in it. But then as I'm writing it, I'm like, I'm not the character anymore. Like, I didn't see it. So I'm like, I'm just going to direct it. And then that's where that's when I'm like, oh, fuck it, I'll just do that. And I gave myself a little part in the thing.
What happened to the lead actor?
You know, his name was Andrew. Andrew Abar. I don't know what happened to him, man, because he was a good-looking dude. I haven't seen him again. Who knows?
He didn't do any other movies?
Not that I know of. I think I ruined his career.
No wonder that fool didn't mention it. No.
No, but it was fun, man. We had fun doing it. You saw it. It was extremely low budget. Very. But you know,
what was the total cost?
I think it was like maybe. I say originally $15,000, but it ended up becoming more, a little more, because you had to pay for this, had to pay for that, you know. And when you first start filmmaking, you think okay, I'm just going to shoot the thing, but you don't think about paying for editing. You don't think about paying for
chips.
Going to film festivals for chips, all that shit. Oh, remember that? Okay, remember the one guy, one of the black bouncer guys, Muscles.
Yeah, Muscles. Yeah,
he stole. Did you remember, were you there when he stole all the craft service shit? The guy's walking out with a handful. I'm like, dude, where the fuck are you going? The guy just walked out.
The security guard from the Laugh Factory.
Yeah, he was. That's why we found him. And the guy stole all the fucking craft services.
What the fuck?
His name was Muscles, but he's a
real Muscles. Is that the same security guard that Tom Joe Pesci threatened to kill?
Oh, I don't know. Probably. I'm sure a lot of people threatened to kill him. And then, talking about threatening to kill, Ernie G was in the
really?
Hey, bro.
You got to get your $60 somehow, bro.
Dude, I know. I can't choke him anymore. No, but I fired him because he was late. That fucker, check this out. Even though he was working for free, he's, right?
I got fired for working for free.
Dude, check this. This is what it was.
People, be on time, okay?
We were shooting a scene at that little the pizza shop, the taco restaurant, right?
Yeah.
Now, he was part of the El Joto, the bad guy's bodyguard. So there was two of them, and then there's a little midget. So that means they all have to play together. So the fucker's like 2 hours late. Now the three other guys.
$3,000 in even for a cheap budget, $3,000 you wasted.
No, absolutely. Because now those guys are sitting around wasting your time. I'm gonna have to shoot other shit, right? And then the fucker just shows up. And goes, I said, why are you late? He goes, I had to go pick somebody up. But yeah, I can only stay a couple of hours. I'm like, you know what, bro, go. And then the rest of the movie, I just wrote him out. like they would just say that he's watching the car or something like that. But like, what a fucking rude fucking idiot, you know?
Like,
but
I guess he could only stay a couple of hours. What do you got to do, dog?
Yeah, I was late, bro.
It wasn't like he was writing material, you know what I mean? So
that's funny, man. When you came out here, man, you were like everybody else, man. You were just broke.
Guess what? I'm back.
Did I remember, man, like you did a show in El Paso with Willie Barcena, and Ernie G was there.
Yeah.
And I wanted to owe you $60 for about a month.
Yeah.
Running, man.
Dude, he pissed me off. And he would give me excuses like, my friend's mom died. I'm like, what the fuck does that have to do? She didn't owe me the money. If she owed me the money, then okay, I could see her not paying me. But you're great. Dude, he's just slime, dude.
That fool just didn't want to pay you,
yeah.
Huh?
No, yeah, because he's a fucking asshole. So it's funny. Paul Rodriguez goes, the G stands for garbage.
Ernie Garbage.
So, after you did that movie, you sold it? Or
yeah, I sold
festivals?
It.
That cost money too, right?
Yeah. I mean, the movie broke even. You know, I got to pay some people back their money. Not everybody. But what it really did for me, though, it helped me learn how to become a better filmmaker. You know what I mean? Because I learned not just what to do, but I really learned like what not to do. Like it's just like stand up or anything else that's artsy. There's so much. What not to do is just as important as what to do.
What was the hardest scene to shoot in that movie? Because there was a lot of.
Oh wow! The hardest scene in that movie.
The bus.
The bus was really hard. Because what happened was on that bus, we ended up, I needed a bus full of people, right? So we ended up going to a Home Depot and getting a bunch of laborers, right? So I gave him like $5 and a sandwich or whatever, you know what I mean? So we get him on the plane. We get him on this bus that we rented out. You know, there are people out there going, hey, who books that? $5 and a sandwich. I'll do that. So the guys left. We finished. And then the fucking camera guy, right? He's like, oh, I fucked up. I put the wrong setting on the camera. I'm like, what? So we had to reshoot everything again. But the guys, I couldn't use those guys anymore. So we just had the actors and the crew kind of just like stick their arms out. And I laid down on the ground and I shot it upwards so you don't see that the place is not full. So anyway, it ended up, but that was really difficult. But
improvising, dog.
Yeah.
Well, I know, man, because I remember there was a scene in that bus scene that we were waving at the bus goodbye, and then we were inside waving to the same people that were waving outside. So, like, it was like, I was outside waving, and then everybody, man, whoever was waving, hide your face in the bus.
And for those of you listening, if you want to see the movie, it's actually, believe it or not, in Netflix. I think it's got like 1.5 stars.
Come on, people.
Hell yeah, let's start watching it again.
El Matador.
Check out the movie, man.
Yeah, but it's, you know, Emilio, but it was Rivera, funny.
Felipe Esparza.
Milo was funny in it.
And was, Gabriel Iglesias.
Milo Rivera was dressed in drag in that movie.
Yeah.
Remember? So did Gabriel. And then you in drag?
No, man.
No, you were in drag. It was.
I missed that day.
You missed that day.
For real, I did. I had a gig somewhere. Something.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was another thing, bad thing. When you're doing low budget shit, people, you know, because everybody's working for free. So people are like, I got to go do this. I got to do that. Right. And then it changes the schedule for everybody. That's why I always tell people, I go, one of the most important things, even if it's just $100, try to pay everybody as much as you can. Because then they show up. Then they feel obligated. You know what I mean? If you don't pay them, what are you going to say? Well, I did fire somebody, but, you know, Ernie, but he deserved it. And, you know, so, yeah, you got to pay money, man. I mean, even me, when I do shit, even though I still do a lot of people favors and I do shit for free, but it's always nice when they pay you.
How long did it take to shoot El Matador?
I think we shot it maybe in like 3 weeks.
Damn.
Because, and you know, the thing is, we could have shot it shorter. It was just that working around people's schedule. The little, you know, who was working a lot was the little midget.
Yeah.
Marty was doing Pirates of Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
He was doing a bunch of shit. Yeah, he was buff, dude. He was a buff little bald dude. But I think he was doing something else because somebody else told me they saw him on TV.
Yeah, he was a lot of stuff.
And he was a little player.
Funny,
man.
He showed up in a big ass 4x4 4Runner.
Yeah,
are you serious? Right.
Yeah,
yeah,
he was,
man.
This tiny little dude.
Throw a boomerang and go climb on like Batman.
Do you remember the drag queens that were helping us with the costumes and the makeup? That was before it was, you know, in style. We had like real transvestites helping us, and that was funny.
The guy who played the dad, what's his name? He's a veteran actor, right?
Oh, yeah. That's Ismael Carlo. He did a couple of scenes or a couple episodes of True Blood, and he was in a bunch of other shit, too. If you see his face, you know who he is.
So what's up, fool?
Chilling. Chilling.
So what's up, man? What made you come to leave the Bronx? Like, what you doing in the... You went to school in New York and shit, or what?
Yeah, I went to school in New York. I left the Bronx when I was 19, and the reason I left the Bronx when I was 19 was because I had an uncle who owned a bodybuilding gym in Arizona, and he went to visit us, and I never met him before. And he was telling me that he had a friend who owned a boxing gym and was a manager, another guy who's a promoter, and the weather's always nice, it's not hot, cold, and I'm like, fuck, this guy's selling me on it. I was 19. I was like, fuck it. Two weeks later, I said, I'm gone. And I left. I sold all my shit. You know, I gave stuff away. And I'm on a plane with four luggages. That was before they charge you. And now it'd be like, yeah, I just got my carry-on. But then I flew to L.A. I mean, I flew to Tucson and became, you know, I turned professional. And like 4 months later, I had my first amateur, first professional fight.
And what, featherweight?
Lightweight.
Lightweight?
135, yeah.
How many fights did you have total?
I probably had 20-something fights, you know, and it was cool. It's just I got burnt out at the end, man. I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. Because, you know, dude, it takes a lot of fucking effort to wake up every day, you know, not eat right, not have sex before a fight, you know, training all the time, running all the time. So unless your heart's in it, you can't do it. So at the end, at the end of my career, I fought for the NABF title, and I got robbed, man. I mean, I really, honestly, everybody was like, yeah, you got ripped off, you got robbed. And then that's when I lost my heart. I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. And I had like one or two more fights, and that was it. Well, luckily, I never did it for the money.
What was your weight?
At the time, about 135. But I was probably, my street weight was probably 145.
135, 45, damn.
Yeah. But when I fought for the NBF title, dude, I weighed 128 3/4.
Damn.
Yeah, I was a skinny little fuck.
So you got robbed, you, like, we saw a fight.
Oh, that's right. I showed you the video. Fight. Yeah, yeah. I did.
The guy ended up fighting. The guy ended up fighting Cesar Chavez, right?
Yeah, yeah. And Chavez knocked him out after that.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So people go, "Hey, that could have been you getting knocked out by Cesar Chavez." You know? No, but it was. But it would have been nice to win that title, man. I won the state Arizona lightweight title, so that was fun winning that. And it's just having a belt, man. It just feels good. You know, especially when you kick. Like I kicked that dude's ass. I knocked down like 6 times, and then I stopped the fight in the 11th round. So that was fun.
Would you have like body shots? Or you for the face?
No, yeah, I'd go more for the face. Because I kind of like, my style was more kind of like a counterpuncher thing. So, you know, I waited till they threw the punch, then I countered. So it was kind of cool. It's almost like sword fighting. You know what I mean? But not with your dick. You know, sword fighting with swords.
So how many years did you fight for?
I fought, I would say, probably from the age of 13 to the age of 27, 28. Damn. Something like that.
Damn.
Yeah, I almost was fighting up to the time I started doing stand-up. So, no, wait a second. Yeah, I did, because I stopped for a few years, and then I made a comeback.
So then you became a cop?
Yeah, then I became a cop, dude. After
what city?
I worked all over Arizona. So I was kind of like
undercover, Raza.
Yeah, no, I was. That's what I was doing. So I was called what? Like a loan officer. So they would send me to a city, and I would just work over there and hang out and have a whole little business or have a whole little cover, and I would just do that. And that shit was fun. That was
really
fun.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Who are you looking for though? Thieves?
No, just mostly. It's mostly drugs. But then I ended up working cases. I worked a bank robbery case. I worked a money laundering case with the FBI. I was working a bunch of cases at the same time, because they would just send me to wherever the fuck they had an issue, and I would just live in that community and hang out. And dude, it was badass. I had like machine guns in my car. I had fucking dude. I was like living the fucking like the bad. I was living like a bad guy.
You got the Born Identity here, bro.
Dude, it's true, man. It's
Joey Born.
No, it was dude. It was fun. Okay, it was fun.
I don't think. What's your real name, bro?
No, I had different names. I had different names.
Fucking aliens.
But check
over
this
here,
out. I'll give you guys a funny story. One day, okay, this is the way.
Who are we interviewing here, man?
No, I never met this.
I don't even know this guy, bro. Where you show up from, man?
All of a sudden, I knock on the door and I'm over there too. Like, what the fuck?
People, you don't know it, but you just press a button right now and machine guns came under my couch. Like Men in Black.
I said I had machine guns.
Who hired you though? This is so worse. Okay, yeah, man. I'm a Wayward Pines FBI.
Yeah, I just work for myself. No. So a lot of people don't know this, but I guess you're going to know now. Undercover cops have real driver's licenses, but with all fake information. And you get that in the DMV. You go to a special office in the DMV, and it's a private office. You go in there, and then whatever information you give them.
I infiltrated the Mongols.
Yes, they give you a real driver's license, so it's checkable. It's everything's real on it, except all the info is fake. So I picked the random fucking name, right? And I had my same birthday. They go, hey.
They go, you. Bro.
Yeah, you got anger management problems.
He didn't show up to class, dog.
No, so I get pulled over one day. And I was getting pulled over all the time by cops who were doing like profile stops. Because I looked like a drug dealer. I drove a drug dealer car. I did all that shit. So he pulls me over. And he calls. He checks for warrants. And I hear on the radio, it was a 29 franc, meaning there's a felony warrant on me. I'm like, what the fuck? So the guy pulls his gun out. He puts me on the floor. I'm like, fuck, dude. I go, it's not me, because I know it wasn't
you
me.
You're on the floor. You recognize. Oh, you're that boxer.
Okay, roll back up. That's hilarious. So then I go, dude, it's not me. That's somebody else. I'm from New York. And the warrant comes back from New York. I'm like, motherfucker. So he goes into my car. A bunch of other cops show up. They find my machine guns and shit in my car. And like they're thinking they hit the jackpot, right? So they bring me in. They arrest me. But luckily, in that city, the chief of the police and the head of detective knew who I was. So they get a fax. Back then, it was faxes, no emails. They get a fax of the picture of the real person. So So they let me go. But I'm like, fuck, man. So I had to go back and change my name. Because I had to, and then I had to run the name to make sure that
Joe
nobody...
Pistone.
That's right. No, so anyway, shit like that was fun, dude, because you get to play bad guy. So
you were working for the state of Arizona?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Or the FBI?
Well, there were cases I did with the FBI. So, like, for instance, I was in one town. I was in one town, and there was the bank was suspected of money laundering, drug dealing money. So what they would do is the FBI would wire me $10,000 every week. And I would take that $10,000, and I would put it in a safe deposit box. And I was doing that to bait the bank, which we did. You know, the bank realized that they thought I was a drug dealer making all this money. And they were like, hey, you know, we can do this for you. We can do that for you. And I'm like, all right, cool. And boom, they got busted by the FBI. So that was cool.
So you were putting bankers in jail.
Yeah.
Crooked bankers. He caught Walter Madoff, dog.
How much money do these bankers take, bro, like when they're doing money laundering?
They were taking a huge percent. I forgot what it was. But my thing was, because I wasn't that kind of, it wasn't my investigation. I just led them to the other people that were, the FBI agents that were handling that. But my thing was to nab them, to get them in there. Because everybody, because I was real young at the time too, so everybody believed me. You know, everybody thought I was.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Like, from you, how long did it take you to become a detective?
A year.
So, yeah. But was it because you're all crafty? How you are all smooth and working it and shit?
Yeah. It was. Come here, dog. It just happened to be there was an opening. I didn't like where I was working at the time, and I'm like, fuck it, I want to do this. And I was young, and I was from, you know, because I was, especially because it was just a few years out of New York, so I still sounded like I'm from the East Coast, and it just did not look and act like a cop at all. So they're like, all right, this guy's be perfect. And it was fun, dude.
Oh, yeah.
It was fucking fun. And then the good thing, a lot of the cops use what's called RICO laws. RICO laws mean you could confiscate anything from anybody. So, like, I remember this one guy that we were gonna do a bust on. He was selling two jet skis. So in my next mission, right, was in Lake Havasu. So I'm like, I want some fucking jet skis. So I told him, I go, hey, man, bring the jet skis. I'm going to buy them from you that day, too. So when he brought them, we just confiscated all his shit. So then when I went to Lake Havasu, I had two jet skis. So it's cool. It's fun,
man.
They
didn't do that shit, huh?
Oh, yeah, dude. It's fucking crazy. But it's, you know, I didn't see it as, I just saw it as a game, really. It was, to me, in my brain, it was just a game. I'm like, all right, let's, it's like role playing, you know, and then.
Fucking acting, dog.
Yeah, and then, like, the house I had. I was in one town in Arizona where my house was all fucking cool. It had like, it was an older house, but it had hidden compartments everywhere. Like, cause I couldn't, like if someone broke in, I didn't want them to find my gun or my ID or police paperwork. Cause I needed all that shit. So I had all that stuff in a safe hidden inside a wall and covered up. And it was like, I had to peel the wall out with Velcro. Like, you know, anytime I wanted to go in there. But if you walk by it, you just think
look
it's a wall.
Look at Chopper over here, dog.
Yeah. So, no, he's out now, so I had nothing to do with him whatsoever. So anyway, it was way before him. No, so anyway, so shit like that was fun.
So you went after big time fools?
Whoever, yeah. I just, you know, the bigger the better. But it was just, but it was a lot of cases. But then there were cases where
when I couldn't get my money for my 60 bucks from Ernie G.
Yes, that's right. All my jokes back. But the point is,
I went undercover too, man. I dressed up like a fan. That's I put right. My brain out.
Oh, fucking Ernie. You know, the funny thing is, if he listens to this podcast, he's going to be bragging. It's like, hey, man, that's right. They're talking about me. They love me. That's what he thinks. He thinks that. He really thinks. Do you remember one time? I forgot.
I'm part of pop culture, bro.
Exactly. When George Lopez first got his show. I don't know if you remember in the newspaper. I don't know if it was a show or the radio. I think it might have been the radio.
Radio was huge.
Yeah, he put there was a big article on George Lopez, and he talked shit about a lot of people. He talked shit about Rudy.
Rudy
he talked,
and Ernie
talked
G
shit
in
about
that,
Ernie G.
In that
and
article.
Ernie, and I don't know if you who I was with, but we were sitting at a Denny's. Ernie G walks in with a whole bunch of newspapers under his arm. He goes, "Hey guys, did you hear that? Did you see that?" I'm like, "Why?" He goes, "Man, fucking George was talking about me." I'm like, "Yeah, he was talking bad about you. How do you take that as a compliment?" Like, how the fuck did... I'm like, whatever. You know? But he takes that as a compliment.
He's going to take the one little quote.
Yeah. He just... His name. And then I'm sure he uses that as his credit. Yeah, as seen, as read in the New York Times or whatever the fuck. You know what I mean? He'll do that. He'll be on a game show and use that ABC as on his credit. Who does that? Who fucking does
Ernie
that?
Ernie G.
Yes.
So how long did you do that undercover work? You were deep, huh?
Like, yeah, I did that for about 3 years.
Like that guy from the Gong Show and shit.
No, that was deeper. If that's true, it was deeper, yeah. No, but I did it for about 3 years. And it was fun, man. I only got out of it because at the time I was married. And fucking, she was, you know, she was like, oh, you never see you. You got to come home. And I went back to
won the case, honey.
That's right. I went back to, I'm like, no, that chick, that hickey was there. That's undercover hickey. That's not a real hickey. No, but she was, yeah, she didn't want me to do it anymore. Only because I never saw her that much, so. Then we got divorced as soon as we got together.
So you got.
I was like, she saw me all the time.
You busted people with drugs and stuff?
Yeah, drugs and everything. But like, I didn't, what I would do is, really, it was really rare when we arrested somebody right at the deal. Normally, I would just
buy,
do all the buys, do all the paperwork,
do the investigation.
And then I would move off and somebody else would make all the arrests.
So they have a lot of undercovers right now, like just buying the arrest.
Yeah, and not only buying, selling.
They just record, huh? They sell too?
Yeah, we sell too. And then that's what we
who'd you sell to? Kilos?
Yeah. So what you do is, that's called a reverse buy. So all you're doing is if somebody goes in there and you're trying to sell them, we just confiscate their money. And so, you know, arrest them. And it's the same thing. It's the same charge.
That money was used for fucking.
Yeah, yeah. So you know, you got to be careful out there. One day I said, you know what? I should train, like, bad people on how to spot cops. But I'm like, no, that's rude. I can't do that. That would be, like, horrible.
They ever suspect you of being a cop?
Never.
Never?
One time, though, I got pulled into a Burger King bathroom and had guns pointed towards me. And they were looking for a wire. But it never was. I never wore a wire. Well, actually, I did once, like, in the movies like that. But the wire I had at the time was I had a pager. Remember back those the pagers?
Yeah.
My pager was the wire. So I could, like, I'll be talking to somebody, I'll put it down on a table, and it was recording everything, you know. But most of the time I had no backup. Most of the time it was just me and by myself. And if I bought drugs, then I would have to call the person who was handling me and have to meet them in the desert somewhere and then hand them the paperwork and hand them the drugs, and then, you know, it was done like that. So it was really deep cover.
Man. This is like 2 year investigations job, Tom.
No, yeah, no, some were long. The longest one I think I did was 9 months. Yeah. One case was 9 months.
Because I saw this article when they caught this gang in this housing project over there at by General Hospital, and I saw the paperwork, right? And they had documented every single buy, like undercover bought from Flaco, announced. Undercover 5, but 3 ounces from this other homeboy. Undercover 6 sold a gun to this guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And then you have to. Everything is documented. Everything.
You're building that case for that DA. More charges to pile that shit
but
up.
But you know what's funny is at the end of the case, they always tell you. You know, you go through with your handler. You go through all the cases one by one. And there was this one kid I remember who he was really young, man, and he sold me a bunch of drugs. But I talked him into going into the army. I'm like, dude, you're smart, man. He's like one of those white cholo guys. Like, he's white, but he wants to be a cholo.
Yeah, Miklo.
Yeah. The fucker ends up, yeah, exactly, ends up going to the army. And then when we get to his paperwork, they were like, all right, let's go through this case. And they would have yanked his fucking ass out of basic like that and arrested him. I mean, because that's. But I was like, you know what, man? I don't know. I didn't feel good about this one. I talked him out of arresting him. So he doesn't know. That fucker, maybe he's dead now. Who knows? But
was a general and shit.
I saved him, man. Yeah, right? I saved him because they would have arrested him like that. Because he sold me a bunch of coke. And, you know, but I could tell that he was just a dude who was young, just trying to make some money, man. That, you know what I mean? So I talked to him going in the army, and I can't remember. Dennis or something. I can't remember.
Dennis Jimenez.
Yes, Dennis Jimenez, the menace. So that, you know, so I did good things too, not just arrest people.
That's why they fired you?
Yeah. They're like, you know what? We got to bring people
you
in, not out.
What happened?
Yeah, I just got burnt out. I went back to uniform after my ex made me go back to uniform. I did that for a while. But then working undercover for 3 years and then going back to uniform does not feel right. Like, I felt like a bad guy. And I'm like, here I am. You know, I have to listen to have to do this. I wasn't doing any of my jobs. I was just looking for drugs over and over and over again. Like, I would pull over cars for drugs all the time. And then I had undercover friends still, and they would be like, hey, there's a blue Chevy going to drive. So I would, those are the cases I would do all the time. And I'm thinking, I don't want to do this anymore. So then I left, and that was it.
So that means that when a guy is buying drugs, just say he's buying drugs from you. No, you're buying drugs off
from
him.
Them?
An ounce, a kilo, blah, 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 blah. But you're still, like, you're building a case to get his guy. You think that a city cop pulling this guy over might fuck up the case for that, for those 2 grams he has in his car?
Yeah, it could fuck up the case. So
a lot of times you got to tell those cops, you got to let this guy go.
Or something like that, yeah. So like a lot of times, like anytime, if you're doing deep cover, a lot of times when you do a drug deal, nobody really knows. Because sometimes it just happens spur of the moment. But if it's set up, then nobody's going to bother that person at all because they already know that there's let them go in and let them go out. You know what I mean? So it's – and then usually if they are going to arrest somebody, they'll do it afterwards. But, yeah, they could mess it up. But then what you do is you find out what happened and you try to work the magic in the back to let the people go or whatever.
I remember I saw this guy getting pulled over. He worked at UPS and I was a security guard.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just going through his car, trying to find drugs, the local Bandini police or right there in City of Vernon police. And he put his hand inside the glove compartment. And he goes, "What is this? Do you have a gun in here?" He goes, "No, I have nothing in there." This fool pulled off some recorder and some wires. Like they were bugging his car. And he just found out that he's being wired.
Oh, shit.
He pulled it out. So right there, he fucked up.
Right. Damn. Well, that's good for him. Fuck, man. Lucky, thanks for letting me know.
So yeah, what's up, Joey Medina, man?
What's up, man?
Man,
I'm glad to be in your
podcast, bro.
Yep. I wanted to be on the show.
You have mean history with this fool. Huh?
I know, bro. One time, Joey Medina told me he went to in Arizona, bro. Tell us the story, bro, when you went as the Ziploc finger, bro.
Back in the day, there was a commercial where there was a Ziploc. There was a little guy. He had a face drawn on his finger, right? So I would do it everywhere. I would just tell people I'm that guy. And they're like, "Oh, wow." And then I would draw. They wouldn't believe me. But then I would draw a little happy face on my finger. And they're like, "Oh, fuck, it is him." How stupid, right? Dude, it was just... It's fucking stupid.
And even, no, for that little finger would take pictures with chicks, bro.
Before selfies, dog.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, it was Polaroids.
Damn, dude.
No, man, Felipe and I and a bunch of other guys, but dude, we had so much fun, man. We always would do shows together with Willie Barcena. We would go to Tortillas. And then we would go back to Willie's house to hang out, right? And we would just sit down in a circle like we're in a little, like a group, you know? And we would have the funniest stories. And then one day, I forgot what it was, Willie was drunk as fuck. And he's yelling at his neighbors because they never took him camping when he was little. Remember when
serious, fool?
Yeah, the police came.
You're lying, dog.
No, dude, it was hilarious. The police came. And Willie's showing him pictures of him and Jay Leno. Go, "Hey, fuck, I was on the Tonight Show. Fuck my neighbors. They never took me to camping when I was a little kid."
Are you serious?
We're sitting there laughing.
Grudges, Rasa.
I love Willie, man. There's so many stories with Willie, man.
Wow, I forgot about that shit. That guy Trenton was there.
Yeah.
Head?
Yeah, Head.
Head was there. Dude, we have fun. Those were some good times.
He kept yelling, bro. I forgot about that. It started off, yeah, man. But fuck my neighbors. They never took me camping with them.
Like out of the blue, some weird shit. He would just open the door and yell at his neighbors.
The whole time, dude, the whole secret was we never knew Willie Barcella sent out all he wanted was s'mores, eh?
See, I didn't have s'mores, bro, so I met my white wife. All my life, I missed out on s'mores, bro.
See? Yeah. How good they are.
You never give me s'mores, Mom! You just put the fucking marshmallow in the fire!
Oh, my God.
Dude, so I'm going to give you another Willie story. I don't think he would mind me saying the story. This was
a recent one.
Recent.
I took a good Willie Barcena, but don't do it, bro.
Tell him whatever you want, bro.
So I meet Willie at a restaurant, and this is
Astros, bro, in my office.
No, it wasn't. That was his office. No, we met at some other Mexican restaurant somewhere. But I was showing him my little horror movie, Missing, right? So we were talking about stuff. So he's watching the movie on my laptop, and he's got headsets. And there's this dude. Oh, no, before this, though, he's telling me about. He goes, "Hey, Joey, man, you got to get this book, dude. It's about anger management, man. It's really helped me out. You know, it's really good. You should check this book out, da, da, da." So I'm like, "All right, cool, man. That's cool. You know, I'll check it out." So he's watching the movie, and there's this dude on the phone, man. And then he looks at Willie, and fucking Willie just gets up, hits him with his chest, And like, motherfucker, and he's like almost like gonna attack this dude. And I'm like freaking out. I'm trying to stop it. And the managers come in and blah, 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 blah. So Willie fucking come, you know, he sits down, but like, this was like really gonna fucking to blows. Like, it was, he came out of nowhere, dude. And then all of a sudden, this dude is shitting his fucking pants, right? So finally, you know, I talked to the manager and everything. I'm like, yeah, I blamed it all on the other guy. It really wasn't the other guy, it was Willie. So then they made the guy go, and Willie's fucking huffing and puffing. He sits back down. I go, oh, so Willie, what was the name of that book again? He starts laughing. I'm like, dude, that is the funniest
thing. Damn, dog.
What was that anger management book again?
I never opened it, bro.
You did, that was another special you did, right?
Which one? Oh, Willie's?
You did Willie's?
No, no, you know what? I was going to do Willie's. I didn't do Willie's because I couldn't. I had to actually work. But I set it up. I set it up, and it was pretty much self done. It was the last thing he did. The last one he did. Now, that's the one in El Paso. But the one that I did was, I did Cholo Comedy Slam and I did Latin Palooza.
Let's talk about Cholo Comedy Slam, because we had Noel G here. We had Emilio, right?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
How did you get the $1 million, first of all?
I got that through somebody else, man. That's a beautiful theater.
I was involved in a money laundering scheme with Villagosa back then.
And yeah. HSBC.
No, that was a really good theater. It was hard shooting that, dude. I'll give you a good example. When I did Latin Palooza, I did that. There was $150,000.
Latin Palooza, people, look it up.
Look it up, Latin Palooza. And it had $150,000 budget. When I did Cholo Comedy Slam, it was a $14,000 budget.
Shut up.
I worked my fucking ass off to get that.
El Matador 2.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, El Matador actually cost more. I had more money for El Matador than I did for Cholo Comedy Slam.
Oh, paying them with tattoos, bro.
Yes. But it was hard, dude. It was really hard doing. Like I said, I always told myself, I'll never do that shit again. I've had other comics hit me up. Hey, you want to do my special? I'm like, how much money you got? And they tell me, I'm like, nah, dude, I can't do it.
How much money would a person need to do a special right now?
Well, it depends on where you want to do it. It just depends on where you want to do it. Well, that doesn't take a lot. I mean, you just need cameras and you just have to shoot it well, though. That's the only thing. Well, I mean, you don't need six. You could probably get away with four. But
$150,000 or more?
No, $150,000. You don't, for the Ice House. You don't need that. One of the reasons why the Lampalooza cost so much was because we had Willie Barcena. No, we had the venue, which cost, and it was all union.
Oh, you had the Alex Theater,
the Alex
right?
Alex Theater in Glendale.
That ain't cheap.
No, and I don't. And it's union, so everything was union. Scale. That's one of the reasons why it was so expensive. But the thing is, it truly is. You can be real creative with no money, but it just takes so much work where you don't enjoy it. You know what I mean? When you have the money where you could hire everybody to do exactly the right thing. You've been on sets where everybody's doing fucking 12 jobs, and you've been on sets where, you know, everybody has their own job. And you're like, well, this is easy now.
Yeah, man. When I did Comic View, and then I did a Premium Blend, it was totally different.
Yeah, there you
People
go.
Were happy to work for Comedy Central.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding, because they had budgets. You know what I mean? But yeah, Comic View, no budget.
Then you work Que Locos.
Less. But actually, I had fun doing Que Locos. That
How
was
many
fun.
Que Locos you do, bro? I 11. Did 9.
I did 11.
What? You did 11? Yes,
I thought I had the record. But mine were 11. All Que Locos. You had Que Locos and Latino Comedy Jams.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So I think I did, yeah. Yeah, I did.
Did 8.
I did those. No, Que Locos was great, man. That really was a good...
Did you go on the tours, too?
Yeah, I did some of the tours.
It was amazing how far the show reached.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Because... And it was weird because, according to Mike Robles, who did the show, it was their highest rating show, but they got rid of it because it was English, and they don't want to do any more English, which makes no sense at all.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Everybody has their own theory, man.
They'll go full went in there and fucked up that deal.
No, I do believe that because that's the way.
They said no more Bobby Bites. He was out.
That show was fucking huge, dog.
Bobby Bites was produced too, bro.
Yeah, because he did Video Mix after.
Yeah.
He had like Lopez, Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, Sofia Vergara, bro, on Bobby Bites.
All those. Puff Daddy, fool.
Puff Daddy.
Damn.
Yeah. He was an innovator, Mike Robles.
He was, man, believe it or not. He was.
Get a grip on that shit.
And those tours were good, man. I mean, we're going to do Latin King tours again. I don't know how many. I know we're doing 3, I think, coming up.
The original Latin Kings?
Yeah, but unfortunately, George is not going to be in it.
Okay.
And George does his own thing. You know, George has his own way of thinking, you know.
So it's going to be you, Paul Rodriguez, Oliver Mundo, and you?
Yeah. So that'll be good. And we've done it a couple of times since then, obviously, just us. And it still does well.
How was Yakima, bro? It was
Yakima was nice.
They're crazy over there.
Yeah,
huh?
It was fun, man. It was packed. Yeah, I didn't even know there were Latinos there.
I didn't know either. When I showed up my first time there, I was at that church. Church, there was a theater. And I was like, wow, on a Wednesday? Really? You guys are going to get this fucked up on a Wednesday.
Yeah, dude. They don't fuck around over there, man.
They have good marketing over there that a lot of people don't use when they promote comedy shows. Like, they promote a lot at the beauty salons. So when the lady getting their haircuts, they tell them, wow, Felipe Esparza is going to be here. Oh, yeah? My husband's a big fan. I'm going to buy him tickets.
See, there you go. But you know what it is? Do you find this, too, that a lot of promoters that don't know our market, they always fuck it up?
I know.
Like, for instance, I did a show one time. It was really good money, and it was
Minnesota.
Farmington, Indiana, or something like that. Richmond, Indiana. I think some weird fucking city. So it was really good money. It was like a 1,500-seat theater. And I'm like, all right, cool. So I get there, and it's a black promoter, and he's talking to me. He's like, yeah, man, I did a lot of advertising. I did a lot of radio. I'm like, what radio? What stations? He goes, oh, all the Spanish ones. I'm like, ooh, that's where you're going to fuck up. He goes, what do you mean? I go, dude, that's not our market. They don't want to see a stand-up comic. They want to see a fucking dude in a bumblebee outfit or a fucking propeller in his head or whatever. You know what I mean? That's not. And then he
played the drunk.
Then he did. He had a meet and greet at this Mexican supermarket. It's like and it was just like, dude, it's not. So Scott was
Joey Medina.
Yes, exactly. Nobody. So Scott Montoya was my manager at that time. And I called Scott. I go, Scott, you got to give me the rest of my money. He goes, why? He goes, nobody's going to be there. And I was right, dude. It was 17 people. The stage was a huge stage. And the stage had like furniture, like it was dressed up like a living room. I brought everybody up on that stage. Because I told the guy, so you're canceling it, right? He goes, no, fuck it. We're going to do a show. I'm like, okay. So I brought everybody up and I put them on the stage and they're all sitting on the couches and stuff. And I did the show on the stage. And then that was it. And it was actually really fun. It was fun, but I was like, I got to get paid now because I know you're not going to make any money at the door. So I hate when promoters do
17 people. Were they scattered?
Yeah, and they were scattered. So it looked like nobody was there, you know? But then when I brought them on stage, it was better. It looked packed.
But a college show.
Yeah. Well, at least, but you know, college show, at least you know they're going to pay.
Oh, yeah, man.
I mean, maybe a week later, but you're going to get paid.
So you started off your stand-up comedy career right after you left undercover work? How did the transition happen? Like, you know what, man? I busted a comedy club owner named Bart Reed for not fixing the AC in the green room.
Ceiling tile hit on the head.
The way that happened
was a rat passed by on stage.
I actually did stand up before I was a cop, as just open mic. And I only did it not to be a comic. I did it because I wanted to hang out with comics. That's all I wanted to do.
Laugh and shit.
It was to be Joy. Yeah. It was to be Joy Barone.
Yeah, pretty much. I just wanted. I was like a chuckle fucker. I just wanted to hang out with comics, man. That's all I wanted.
Shout out to Rory.
Yes. So I thought if I could do open mic, then I could hang out with comics. And back then it was
just a taste, bro.
Yes. So back then it was Pablo Francisco.
Oh wow.
There was a friend of my my buddy now, George Gray, who's the announcer of The Price is Right. All these guys were the very beginning of their careers. They were like openers at the time.
So you knew Pablo Francisco? Was he fucking funny? Always funny?
Yeah, he was always funny, man. He was never not funny. Like I never saw him do bad. You know, so anyway, I just did that playing around. So then after I was a cop anymore, and then me and my ex broke up. She kicked all my shit out. And you ever hear me do this joke about I went home and I thought my neighbors were having a yard sale?
Yeah.
But it was all my shit. That's really happened to me. That really happened. I'm walking around recognizing all this shit out in the street. And I'm like, and then I realized it was mine. So
I saw a homeless guy walking around with a fucking lightweight champion in the world belt.
That motherfucker. Like, so I throw my shit in my car, and then I'm like, I didn't know what I was going to do. And then later that night.
All my mics.
Yeah, so later that night, I went to the comedy club because they knew me still, you know. And I went in there just to tear myself up. And then I'm like, you know what? Fuck this. I could start my life all over again. I go, I'm going to become a comedian for reals. And then that was it. That's, you know, I just kept on doing stand-up. And then you know how it is, dude. There's ups and downs and ups and downs.
What was your first joke?
Oh, fuck, dude.
You thought your wife was having a yard sale?
No, that wasn't. That actually came later. Then I realized, I'm like, yeah, I'll use that. But my first joke was probably horrible. I don't even know.
I know, man. Comedy's tough, man. Don't have up and thin downs, man. I remember I used to eat raw spaghetti, bro.
Yes, but not because I couldn't afford a pot. It's just I love the crunchiness of raw spaghetti.
I like chips.
Buy some corn nuts, bro.
No, I used to love the
no people. But Joey Medina used to eat raw spaghetti and it's then true. Drink pasta sauce.
I used to love the crunchiness of it.
Man, I don't know. Comedy has ups and downs, man. How many people were living with you at one time? Because I know you had. You had Ralphie May,
Joey Diaz, Sheila Rivera.
And Alex Raimundo rented a closet.
Yes. Everybody had, it was a one-bedroom apartment. And like
maybe no way, one ten, bedroom.
Yeah, it was one bedroom. It was two. No, one bedroom, dude. People lived everywhere in that house. It was like the Wayward House of Comics. But it was fun.
How the fuck do you have Ralphie May, Alex Raimundo, Joey Diaz? Joey Diaz too?
Yeah, Joey Diaz stayed there for a while.
That's right. I was living there for a little while, man. I couldn't take it no more. Nobody. I bet he was the only one that was always home, huh?
Yeah, because so place always smelled like weed.
Because everybody was always working. Ralphie May was hardly there. Alejandro probably always gone.
Well, Ralphie May, it was the beginning of Ralphie's career. And the funny thing was, Ralphie got there, and but then right away, as soon as he became friends with all these other guys, you know, Doug Stanhope and stuff, he disappeared. He's like, all right, who can help me over here?
Joey,
you know?
Who, Big Daddy?
Hey, so it was that kind of thing, which was weird because after he started doing okay, he just disappeared. You know, well, not literally, but you know, pew. He can't.
More room at the house.
Yes, there was more room in the house. Because when literally he would, when he would, you know, when he was on that, when he was on the ground, he was bigger than he was now.
I know. I remember showing up with him, sitting down with him, just talking, and he was just hitting, smoking weed by himself. Fucking bola sticking out to the side.
Like Jabba the Hutt just sitting there.
Just sitting there, bro.
But you know, it was cool, man. I remember one time I auditioned for a movie and I got the part, but he also got a part. He took me to the audition. And he ended up getting a part. It's funny, man. When I think back of all the little stories, I'm like, wow, man, that was fucking interesting. That was cool. That was this. That was that. Stuff, shit that you and I have gone through, shit that... You know, all the people who've been around that long have gone through. You know, then everybody soldier, does their own little thing, which is weird, you know.
Your first album was cassette, bro.
Yes.
No, it was a cassette.
No, it was, I got a CD and a cassette. It was CD and cassette.
Oh, you give me a little shout out, bro, on your cassette. I remember that shit. Hey. I remember your album was you getting punched up by a little person from Tucson. Nice guy, too. From Bugsy's. Was that your comedy night?
Yeah, that
Bugsy's?
Was my comedy. That was Did Gabriel you start Iglesias. It? No, I didn't start it, but I was – well, somebody started it, and I started it with them. I booked it for them.
Yeah.
I was the first –
I thought
first
it was Rudy Moreno at first.
No, no. Rudy probably took it. But he did. But no –
buy my albums.
I did it. I did it. And that was Gabriel's first gig. It was a $50 paid gig.
Let me tell you what happened at that gig, bro. Gabriel's first gig, Gabriel came back fucking happy, bro. He did it for a low rate, too, $60, right?
No, it was $50 bucks.
50.
Because that's all I had left.
That's all they had left because Rudy Moreno took some of the money, I think, and Dante or Joe Diaz, one of those guys.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And he goes, Felipe, we're going to find somebody for $50. Bro, I know this chubby guy that does impersonations.
We remember you and I forgot where it was. Was it Gotham's? We saw Gabriel there for the first time, remember? And his act was like Sam Kennison. He was just like really mean and we're like, whoa, dude.
This is my impersonation of Marlon the Martian having sex. This is my impersonation of Popeye having sex.
Yeah, yeah.
All his characters were having sex. And then he'll do a bit about messing with the radio. WGD9. Oh. You know, like. Like radio shit.
Switching in and shit.
I remember, man, when he came back from that gig, he got laid that night. He lost his virginity at Bugsy's. You didn't know that?
Oh, no, I didn't know that. Good for
him. Bro. Yeah, so he lost his virginity and made $50.
That was good. That was a good little gig. It was $50, but it was a free hotel and a free airfare.
Headliner, tight, 150.
Huh? Yeah. Headlining was 150.
And everyone got laid, bro. Everyone came home thinking, yeah, bro, me too, dog.
Yeah, Tucson was pretty
It was
good.
Big Alex.
Oh, yeah, Big Alex.
He had
the
big old fanny pack on the back of his neck.
That's right. But whatever happened to that guy's probably not even alive.
No, anymore. He's alive.
Is he?
I did a show in Tucson, and one of his nephews came up to me.
Oh, very cool.
He's still alive, chilling in Tucson, Arizona somewhere, man.
Let me ask you now. Since last comic, and now it's been a couple of years, how and the dust has settled, how what are your regrets and what are the good parts?
I don't know, man. So far, I have no regrets that I can think of. Maybe because not making the right decisions right after One Last Comic Standing with NBC.
Oh, okay.
Because when you win Last Comic Standing, they're supposed to do like a movie, a TV deal with you.
Right, right.
That's bullshit, bro.
It doesn't happen?
Yeah, man. Where's Rodman's deal? Where's a hold? They have a holding deal only, though.
Right.
They keep you from working for Fox.
Right.
And regrets I have is not showing up to the meetings ready, bro. Like, I remember I had a meeting with CBS, and her and I just sat there and didn't say nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't tell her about my dreams or share my life with her.
Right, right.
I've been bad at meetings. That's my biggest regrets. Getting fucked up.
I think you're the kind of person in my mind, like, there was a meeting, I would just say, just be you. Because you're really likable. So it's like, if you're not being yourself, then you're not going to be likable. And you're just going to look like this outcast kind of guy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you always just be your fucking self. Whatever, you can say whatever the fuck you want to say. And people either get it or they don't get it. You know what I mean? I've done a lot of meetings too, dude. And I remember, do you remember that I was developing my own sitcom called LA Limo a few years back?
No, bro.
Madonna's company picked it up.
Madonna?
Yeah, Maverick. Her company picked it up. So I wrote this thing. It was about a professional boxer in New York who becoming over the hill. He's a champion. He gets knocked out, and the doctor's like, "Yeah, you can't fight no more." So he's like, "Okay, no problem." And you know, I invested all my money, and his dad was his manager. It's kind of like Taxi and Sanford and Son. So then he goes to the accountant and finds out his dad invested in horrible shit, like pig's feet on a stick and, you know, fucking things that like he lost all his money. The only thing they have left is this beat up limousine company in LA called LA Limo. So he has to fly there and work it and be there. And then, so anyway, that's what it was about. And I remember one time Madonna's company, Maverick, they got me a showrunner and we pitched to CBS, I think it was. And it was the biggest mistake ever. She had no idea what the fuck she was talking about. Like, she shows up, and she was this black chick, really pretty girl. But she shows up with her hair, like Rosanna Dana, remember saying that? Like, so, it's first of all, it's distracting as fuck.
Like Marcella Arguello.
Yeah, she just, and then she's like totally pitching it completely wrong. And I'm looking at my fucking manager at the time going, what the fuck is this? I should have just stopped and go, okay, stop. This is the way it is. Because nobody's going to pitch your shit better than you.
Yeah.
Because you're passionate about it. You know all the ins and outs. You can answer any question. And if you get somebody else pitching it for you who doesn't have that same ambition, you just sit there like a fucking idiot going, oh, okay, whatever. And I could tell right away it was going to work. Like, as soon as we left, I was so fucking pissed. I was like, fuck this. And, of course, it didn't work. It didn't go anywhere. Then Penny Marshall's company picked it up after, and then nothing happened there either. So you know how it is. In show business, dude, it's you think shit's going to happen, and that's when people ask me, I'm like, hey, what? Even if I have something going, I'm like, nah, nothing, because you never know. Like somebody told me, unless you see it in a TV guide, don't fucking say anything. It's because you can.
Fucking TV guide.
It's true, man.
That's true, right?
You never know what's going to happen.
Right.
Or not happen.
You never know, man. Even if you go watch it, man, oh, what happened? You're seeing it. I was cut, bro.
That happened to me. When I was 18, I was in a fucking movie with Terry Garr and it was
Taxi.
Called Firstborn. No, it was First called Firstborn. Born. And I was so excited, and my family, we all went to see the movie, and my fucking scene was cut out. I'm like, motherfucker, this is embarrassing.
This is my family.
Yeah, we went with my family.
Everybody stop eating popcorn. Look at Joy Medina.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm next. And then I'm like, well, what the fuck? It was cut out. I mean, I got a lot of money for it. It was cool. I also met Robert Downey Jr., Sarah Jessica Parker. And I was trying to flirt with her, and it fucking didn't go anywhere. And during lunch, and then, but they were dating at the time. They were both dating at the time.
It's all right here.
Oh, yeah.
What's wrong with that guy over there?
Yeah, but would you cut that out? I guess I know over there. Cut that guy.
She
right.
got me cut.
Fucking Cupid over here.
Well, I was 18. I don't know.
That's fucking.
But it was fun, dude. It was fun. But you know, fuck shit. The show business just.
What was your favorite movie growing up?
Watching?
Said, you said, man, fuck that. I'm gonna be an actor.
Well, I don't know. I didn't really know if I could do any of that shit because I was high. I mean, shy, not high. But I would say Rocky, dude, is still my favorite movie ever. I just saw Rocky and it changed my life. I was like, fuck, that's amazing. Like, I want to do that. But it's funny, like.
Rocky rocks, bro.
Hell yeah.
Rocky's the best movie ever.
Rocky's so good that, that, like, the movie's awesome. But when you read that, how he got the movie made,
oh, yeah, it's even
it
better.
Makes the movie even better, man. Yeah, yeah. You know what? I'll fucking star in it, man.
And people offered him money, a lot of money, and he was like, no, no. And the motherfucker was starving. He was saying, no, no, no. And then he did it and look, fuck, changed the whole world. Now they got the new movie,
Apollo.
Creed, which is Apollo's son.
Oh, Creed. Yeah, Creed.
Yeah, and Rocky's in it. Playing himself, so that's fucking cool.
I asked Jay London, man, if he's gonna watch that movie because Jay London likes boxing.
Uh-huh.
He goes, nah, he's been taking all his life. That's Sylvester Stallone. It's about time he starts giving. Are you gonna watch it as a boxing fan?
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it. Like, I haven't seen Southpaw yet. I want to see that. I heard that's really good.
You still like boxing though, even though you were a boxer?
Yeah, I love boxing.
You're a big boxing
fan. That's the only sport I really like is boxing.
You understand it? Like, when people talk about it, like,
oh, yeah.
And when Carlo the Oscar or someone else talks about boxing or Joe Rogan, you could handle your own.
Oh, hell yeah. Because to me, boxing and comedy are the same thing. Like, you ever get deep in a conversation about comedy with somebody and about styles or this and that, and you're like, wow, I'm smarter about this than I thought.
I avoid people like that, bro. We're going to talk about comedy, bro. We just did a show.
Comedy 24/7 over here.
Yeah, those guys are called like, not working comedy, bro. They're hanging out at Denny's like we were, bro. Well, after Wild Coyote, we should have been at home.
That was fun.
Yeah, we go deep sometimes, man. We talk about like Amy Schumer.
Mm-hmm.
And some other people.
I saw the movie, dude. It was actually really good. It was a little long, but it was good. It was really good.
It was a train wreck, bro.
Yeah. No, it was a train wreck when everybody got fucking killed the other day watching her movie. Remember that?
That sucks.
Yeah, that was horrible. But what do you think, Amy Schumer? I have a lot more respect. I've never seen her stand up ever.
Me neither.
But I have so much respect because she wrote that movie and she didn't direct it. Judd Apatow did. But the movie is actually really fucking good. Like, I was laughing my ass off a lot. And what I liked about it was it just wasn't comedy. There was a deepness to it too, and that's I like when movies are layered like that.
Twists
with these little different feelings.
Did LeBron James throw in a flop in the movie?
No, he was okay. Good? He was cute. You know who was better? Who was really good in it. Impressed me was the wrestler.
The Rock.
John Cena.
Cena, yeah. That's what John I heard. Cena actually John killed Cena. In it. He killed. He killed it. It was really good. And for the girls out there, if you want to see his ass, you see his ass in the movie.
Monday. John Cena's ass is the train wreck.
But, dude, directing is what I like. I'd rather be behind the camera than in front of the camera.
Really?
To be honest, yeah. It's more fun. It's more creative. Being in front of the camera is kind of boring. You know what I mean? But it's just being behind the camera is the shit. That's where shit happens. And it's, you know, I don't know if I told you, I just wrote my own single camera style sitcom, kind of like Louis and Marin. It's called The Man of a Funny Age. And it's about me at my point in my life right now where, you know, where I had my career was better a few years ago and now it's kind of shitty. And it's like now trying to get it back. And so that's what the show starts right there. And it's I'm going to direct it myself. I'm going to shoot it myself because I own all the equipment. So I was thinking, why don't I fucking just do it myself? And so that's what I'm going to do. And it's actually pretty good. The script is pretty funny. Russell Peters was going to be in the first episode. And
just throw me
in
an episode, bro. I was there when you were hot, bro.
I know.
No, I was there when you were driving that convertible car. You had two houses. I remember you called me up. And Felipe, I think I just saw somebody striding a freeway who looks just like you. It was me, dog.
I remember.
That shit was fucking funny, though, man.
Oh,
I saw Joey Medina pass by in his Miata in the hot sun, hair flapping in the back and shit, like fucking Don Johnson in Miami Vice, on his phone making plans. No, you were selling a house. And you had just left radio again.
Oh, okay.
And you said, Felipe, I think I just saw somebody on the freeway look just like you. It was me, bro. You know what happened to me that day? I was trying to be fucking greedy. What happened? I was going to junk my car already and make $300.
Right.
Because it was still running, make 400 bucks. But then my brother said, he'll buy it. I said, well, give me six. So I figured I'd just drive to his house and then he never made it, bro.
Oh,
so I'm making 100.
And then paying for a toll.
Yes.
Yeah, because I think when I drove by, there was a tow truck there right, or something.
I was done, man. So what's up, fool, man?
Yeah, same old shit.
So right after you were Undercover Cop, did you go straight to radio or you already doing radio? Because I know you were
I did radio.
With a Manic Hispanic, right?
Yeah, I did radio when I first got into stand-up. Like the very first time. That's the first time I ever did radio. And then that was bullshit money. It was like minimum wage. You know what I mean? I just did it to promote my little shows that I was doing.
That was a good idea, though.
Yeah, but then I always thought radio paid shit. So when they offered me the job at Latino 96.3, I said no at first because I didn't even know what the money was about. I'm like, nah, I'm good. And then it was way more than I
thought. A lot, huh?
Yeah, a lot.
It was seven figures. I
bought my mom a house.
I heard it was seven figures.
Yeah, but it was a lot, yeah.
Wow. I thought the fool was going to say no, dog. I was going to say six.
And I'm trying to add.
No, but you work hard, though, bro.
No,
you were fucking the radio in the morning and hosting Latino Night and still doing comedy nights.
Yeah,
said no to nobody.
That's the thing. Rudy
Moreno, if you were at the casino, bro, you never have to be there.
Dude, that was the biggest mistake. Not the biggest, but one of the biggest mistakes I ever did. When I got the radio, I knew people were going to talk shit. So I never said no to anybody. Like, anybody had a little, you know, Sebastian, all these guys had $20 rooms at 10 o'clock at night. I said yes. And I get it. I knew why they wanted me also because I was probably going to promote it on the radio and they could do it. And it's okay. But I didn't want to be the dick to go, nah, dude, I don't want to do it. But what happened was, dude, I was waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning every day. I would drive all the way to Pomona because that's where my house was at the time. And then 10 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night, drive all the way back into town, do a spot, then drive all the way back to take a 2-hour fucking nap and then go back to work. And I was doing that almost every fucking night. And I just couldn't. Dude, I almost crashed a bunch of times. I had to end up a bunch of times just pull over on the fucking freeway to take a nap because I couldn't even make it back to Pomona. That's why I ended up getting the apartment next to the radio station. So here I got a house in Pomona that I'm never at. And I'm at the apartment, all furnished, 2-floor apartment in next to the radio station, and because I just couldn't do it anymore. I should have just said no to fucking everybody who wanted me to do their nights, man. But and just go to Louis. I would love to do it, but I don't want to kill myself because that's
man, what you hosted that Laugh Factory for what, 2 years?
Yeah, every night, man. That shit was packed on Mondays, and that's right around when you did Last Comic Standing, right? It was right. No, you did Last Comic Standing right after that, I think, right after I got off radio.
Yeah, man.
And and it was fun. You were on the show. Did you come to the radio show?
Yeah, I did. You were there. I don't know if you were there with Roxy or
No. I don't know.
Raimundo's sister, maybe.
Alex Raimundo's sister. Yeah.
That's when show in 2010. You were still on radio, huh?
Yeah.
Because I showed up and there was a cool ass Lebanese guy or Persian guy who did sports and took me to his house.
Oh, Sam. Yeah.
Sam's man. That fool smoked me out, dog.
Did he?
Yeah, man.
Sam was cool.
Yeah.
I fired Sam, though.
That's probably why.
No, he
was like an intern, right?
No, he got paid. He was, you know, he was a nice guy, and he really knew sports. He was passionate about sports. I love how passionate he was about sports. And he was a team player. He was good. But he was fucking weird sometimes, and he would just, I forgot what it was. Him and I got into an argument one time, and I told him, I said, dude, you better watch out, dude. I'm gonna fire you. And he was like, I dare you. I'm like, seriously? Now you fucked up. Gone. Goodbye. And he's like,
oh, okay. Seriously?
I'm like, really, dude? And you're gonna dare me? Just don't do that. I don't want to. Wait
up. Derp.
Yeah, so I ended up firing him. But I felt bad. I mean, I felt bad, but the fucker dude put me in the corner. You know what I mean? I forgot what the argument was about, but it was something that was, you know, it was, I don't know, he got crazy.
So what happened, bro? And then you were going to fight Ron White, huh? The Laugh Factory?
Yeah, then I was going to fight Ron White.
What's up with that shit?
Jader plots.
That wasn't my fault.
Hey, man, a little Puerto Rican right here.
Well, what had happened was...
You were working radio with his wife or lady?
No, this is what happened. Alex Raimundo's sister was... I got her on my show. But Alex Raimundo's sister is very bougie, she's into jazz. So she wanted to play jazz. Now, you know, our station played reggaeton and hip-hop. We can't play fucking jazz, right? And then she wanted to play her music because she's, you know, a singer. And she wanted to interview fucking authors. I'm like, our audience don't even read.
She sounds like that DJ that took over Robert Williams' job in Good Morning Vietnam.
So she's
the
so,
French gourmet.
Right, so that's... So the
she wants to turn 10 minutes of your show into an NPR hour, huh?
Basically.
Oh my
so
God.
The general manager came up to me and said, dude, you got to tell her to bring it down a notch, man. She's talking over our audience. I'm like, dude, I know. So I even went to her house. I said, what's her name again? Well, it doesn't matter. Margo. So Margo, I go, Margo, you got to bring it down a notch. So they let her go after that. It wasn't me. I didn't do it. I wouldn't have done it. They did it. But I warned her. They're not liking it. So I didn't know this, but she, you know, that really hurt her. It hurt her a lot, which, of course, you know, it was fucking a radio gig. I get it. It hurt me a lot. I fucking wanted to cry, too, when, you know, when I got let go. But so anyway, I didn't know this, but Ron White at the time, you know, was friends with Alex. And so he ends up having an affair or whatever with Alex's sister. They end up dating and he leaves his wife. I knew none of this information. Right. So one day I'm at the Laugh Factory and I met Ron once before. And I'm upstairs at the Laugh Factory, and I go, "Hey, Ron, what's up, man?" I was hosting that night. I go, he goes, "Oh, you that radio dude?" I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "You're a fucking asshole." And I'm like, "Okay, like, I'm going, where's the punchline?" You know, like, I'm like expecting like him, but he was like serious. I'm like, "What?" He goes, "Yeah, you were mean to my girlfriend." I'm like, "What?" In my brain, I'm going, "He's married." I'm like, "What the fuck is he talking about?" And then I put real, you know, your brain works really fast. I'm like, "Oh fuck!" I put two and two together. I go, "Oh no, let me tell you what happened." And he goes, I don't give a fuck what happened. So I'm like, that's when I'm like, what? Like, to me, I just felt like he did a drive-by insult. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I got in his fucking face. Were you there? Were you there that day?
I was outside.
Okay, so then we're fucking, yeah. I'm in his fucking face. And now I could tell he's got his drink in his hand. He's like trying to turn. Like, he doesn't know. And I got like tunnel vision. I'm like, fuck this, man. I'm feeling really insulted. So I'm yelling at him. And you know, and so now I think Johnny was there. I think Darren was there. And they broke it up and everything. And I just kept on fucking staring at him because I'm not going to walk away. And so, and he's like looking uncomfortable. So I just broke I wanted to break the vibe. And I go, "So how's the tour going?" And he's like, it's good. It's good. It's good." And then I walk away. Right. So I walk away and he's like, "Well, that was really awkward." And then he goes, "All right, well, I'm going to go up next. Who's the host?" And he goes, they go, "That guy that just walked away." So, but I gave him a great intro. I was a professional, and then he offered to buy me a drink like a week later at the improv. But yeah, but this is why I see it. Look,
Tater Tots would have been mashed potatoes.
I get it. If you think I insulted your girlfriend, I get it. I get you think I'm an asshole. I totally understand that. But don't insult me and then let me not explain. Let me explain. Even if you don't believe me or if you don't whatever, that's cool too. But don't be like a dick and go, "Nah, I don't give a fuck." No, you do give a fuck, asshole, because you just called me an asshole. So now you're going to listen to me. I mean, that's the way I see it. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's what happened. So, and now they're married. And I'm sure it's because of love. But, yeah, so anyway. But I don't think I've gotten to a real fight in years with anybody.
Years, right?
Probably, yeah.
I remember you fight only one time at Wild Coyotes.
Yeah, on stage. On stage. Right? Yeah. Somebody came up on stage and I was going to fucking... But then I think, was it you or was it Jeff Garcia broke that up? One of you guys broke that up.
It was
up.
One
Al.
Of them. It was Al. Somebody. Willie Barcena broke it up. He instigated.
little chest
Willie
bump.
Does do that. Willie fucking does it. Like, one time we were walking somewhere and Willie fucking... I forgot what... He started talking shit because people were looking at it, and then he's like, "Yeah, Joey," right? I'm like, "Dude, don't bring me into this fucking thing." I'm like, fucking Willie's crazy, man. I don't know. Willie's one of those guys.
Hit him with the chair, bro. What the fuck?
All right. You got to watch out.
Drop the knee, bro.
I could just see Willie getting one day when he's an old man getting kicked out of nursing homes because of fighting and shit. You know? Fucking talking, "Hey, dude, you stole this. You stole that. You stole this.
But you stole my Geralto, bro."
Give him the famous Gordo, bro.
Yeah, this shit. Nah, but you know, even though everybody like has a Willie story, I don't know how you feel, Felipe, about it, but there's something honorable about Willie. Like, he's just, like, he doesn't hide any of his emotions. That's what I think is good about him. You know what I mean? He just says what the fuck he says. And I think, I'm like, all right, you may not agree with it, but you got to just, you know. But you're like, all right, cool. There's other motherfuckers in this business. You know how it is, man, that you're like, I don't trust that motherfucker. Anything he says, I don't trust that dude. So at least I know whatever he says, I can trust.
What's your next show coming up?
Tonight I'm going to do Grandpa Fred. Have you seen the pictures of me dressed up as a 90-year-old man?
No.
Yeah, dude. I have this this killer, like, it's a $1,200 mask and the arms. And I dress up. I'll show you stuff. It's on YouTube. You could put up Grandpa Fred. I go up on stage as a 90-year-old man and I tell the most rawest fucking jokes ever. And it's fucking hilarious. I've only done it twice so far. And I'm not going to do this as an act, I don't think. But I do it every once in a while just for fun. So tonight I'm going to do Grandpa Fred at Ha Ha's.
What if somebody goes, Grandpa Fred, man, don't let that motherfucker that coming from money laundering.
I'm just hoping those guys are forgiving me.
Are those that, characters that you come up on stage, were they characters you did undercover or?
No. No, Grandpa Fred, I got because I ended up just buying this cool ass mask. When I was a kid, I always loved masks like that, you know.
And Jason, eh?
Yeah, but it's very realistic. I mean, look, I'll show you pictures, dude. It's fucking realistic as shit. And so one night I brought it to Laughlin so I could fuck around, you know, just walk around the casinos and pretend I'm an old man and fuck with people. And then I decided
they fall for it.
Yeah, dude, it's hilarious.
Oh yeah,
I had the little walking shit too.
No, check this out. It was me and the Smash Brothers with my bodyguards. And you know, one of them has a really hot girlfriend, right? So she was pretending to be my girlfriend, and I walked around with a stack of $50,000. It's fake. It's movie money, but it looks real. Unless you really look at it close or touch it, you know you think it's real. So I walked around with a stack of $50,000, those guys around me, and a hot chick, and people really thought, man, this fucking rich old man.
Tagged the sponsor.
So that was fun. And I'll show you a picture. But anyway, so.
It's on YouTube, right? What's it called? Old Man Fred?
No, Grandpa Fred.
Grandpa Fred.
So I did it. You know, I did it just to fuck around, man, and it just it was really fun to do it because I got to be somebody else instead of myself. You know what I mean? And that's what I liked. Because you know how it is, dude. Sometimes you get tired of your own shit. You're like, oh fuck, I hate it.
Hell yeah, bro.
I don't want to hear myself say this shit again. You know what I mean? But it's like, so I do this act as this
it's
guy,
like George
dude,
Shapiro,
and
dog.
And it's hilarious, dude, because I say some really raw shit. Really raw shit. Did you guys see Bad Grandpa?
Yeah. Yeah,
well, it's like that. It's basically, it's a little like that.
His cousin, you know? Dog.
So you do like stand-up comedy? Like what kind of jokes does Grandpa Fred say?
Well, okay, I talk about accidentally fucking my dead wife, because I couldn't tell the difference. And then I'm like, the good thing about fucking her, look, the good thing was her rigor mortis made her pussy tighter. That's one of the jokes. So, dude, but people like, because they really think I'm an old man. So they just fucking laugh. Like, I was scared at first. I was like, oh, I hope people get it. Or I hope people don't realize it's me. But everybody buys it. Some people go, I couldn't tell. I thought maybe there was something there. But no, everybody thinks it's real. When I tell them it's me, like one time I did Grandpa Fred. The second time I did it was the last time I did it was at the Improv. At the Dirty Show for the Smash Brothers. And I did Grandpa Fred first, and then later on I went on as me. And people were like, fuck, that was you. I'm like, yeah, that was me. So that was fun.
You do the whole character getting out of the car and going into the club, all that shit? Or you
No, I get dressed over there because it's too much shit. But I always have guys help me on stage like I'm a little old man. They always say I'm a World War II veteran. So everybody gives me like a the first time I did it, dude, I got a standing ovation, man. It was hilarious. And I'm just this dirty fucking old man when I do it. So it's cool. It's fun.
Rodrigo's thinking of getting a puppet as a little cholo.
He should.
Call that fool little puppet, dog.
Little puppet? Actual puppet. Hey, here's actual puppet. No, you should do it, man. I don't know. It's just, you know, I'm doing it more to entertain myself than I'm doing it as an act.
Yeah, man.
You know?
So what's up, fool? What's the most craziest gig you ever did? Like, where you say, damn, I'm glad we got paid.
Oh, fuck, dude. Tons of them. The craziest gig as far as bad? Fuck, I don't know. Probably you and I did a couple together. I don't know. I've done so many shitty fucking gigs, dude. Just shitty gigs.
Probably that gig you and I did, man, and fuck. Man, when you're making out with that chick with the Uggs.
Ooh, where?
When I went to go pick you. Oh, man,
oh my God.
China Lake. Probably China the worst Lake. Gig ever, dude.
Yes, yes.
So far... And dead town, huh?
Yes. I was mad at Felipe because he let me fuck this person that I shouldn't have fucked.
I never seen you so happy, bro. I mean, if I would have tried to pull you away, I should have just put on a rooster suit like that. You would throw a cock blocking.
No, but you know what?
She was taller than this food dog.
Yeah, and she was bigger.
She looked like she was dressed like she had Uggs, and she had those long shorts, and she had that hair, you know, like the, like, can I speak to the manager haircut?
Yeah, she.
That Bob or what?
Dude, it was just like in the movies where you wake up in the morning and you're like, what the fuck? What did I do?
Yeah, the fool woke up, brought that pad like the wrestler, bro. Like, you didn't know where it was at.
Yes, it was a trailer park, right?
Yeah, trailer park.
She was in a trailer. Yeah, and it was just like, oh, and I was like, Felipe, dude, why'd you let me do that?
I've never seen you so happy, bro.
Like, she was standing up. She was sitting on top of the table, and you were standing up, making out with her like you guys were a date on a carnival or something.
That was a shitty gig, though.
China Lake. I never, that's funny, but I never met these people in life. Like, I never seen the woman who books that. You ever met her?
Uh-uh.
What was her name?
I forgot. I know you're talking about.
Have you done those triple runs?
Yeah, I've done triple, CW Kendall. I've done
CW all those. CW Kendall!
Remember that fucker?
I haven't heard that name.
Yeah, dude.
Man, explain to people, man. People don't know what a triple run is. Probably one of the worst gigs now,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. They're the one-nighters that you have to travel, you know, 6 hours to one gig for $150, another 6 hours. Before you know it, you drove all over the fucking country and you've made $1,000.
Like from Portland to Walla Walla.
And you stay in the worst fucking hotels. It's the worst situations, the worst rooms ever. I remember one time I did a room where the microphone was connected to the speaker and I had to hold the speaker up. It had a handle and that was the room. I'm like, well, got to do it, got to do. The TV's on still at the bar and you're like, fuck, man. But what I did was when I did those gigs, I used to find out where all the comedy clubs were and I would do a spot. I would always stop at a comedy club and do a guest spot, you know, in between days or whatever. Or I would try to stay at a couch at the condo when they used to have condos back then. So I would always try to make it work for me. But literally, dude, I would start back then when I lived in Arizona. I would start in Arizona, work my way up to Colorado, then New Mexico, then go here. Then before you know it, I'm doing shows all the way in Florida. Then you got to go all the way back. But coming back, that's what I would do. I would stop at comedy clubs. I would do that. I would get guest spots. You know, I would try to do whatever I could to get more work.
Just working it?
Yeah, but that's how you get better and better, just working that road.
We had Fred Stoller here,
mm-hmm.
and he was talking about doing this worst comedy club in Tucson, Arizona, where he said some of the waitstaff lived in that condo. And I told him, bro, that hasn't changed.
Yes.
I was there with Joey Medina and Willie Barcetta. They had the waitresses and this guy living there.
Yeah, yeah. What's his name?
Gary Bynum?
Gary Hood.
Gary Hood.
Yeah, Gary Bynum.
How was that, bro? They're like, would you ever do that again? Go to a comedy club in a condo where the whole staff is staying there?
No. One time I actually worked there. This was a few years ago. And it was right around the Latin Kingdom comedy days. So I go over there. They put me in the condo. I walk in. I didn't even put my bag down. I turned around. I got a hotel. I'm like, I got it. Don't worry about it. I'll pay for it myself. Because it was that fucking disgusting that I'm like, I'll walk out. I'm good. Dude, this is the thing. I would never stay at a hotel that I personally or stay in a place where I personally wouldn't pay for it. If I wouldn't pay for it, then I don't want to fucking stay there. I'm not bougie. You know what I mean? I'll stay at Motel 6. I don't give a fuck. But at least I don't want roaches crawling on me and fucking cum stains all over the fucking place. Well, you don't even need a fucking black light. You could just visually still see them.
Fucking like, black mold, dog.
Yeah, you're like, nah, man, I'm not going to stay here. That's fucking rude. I don't, you know, who the fuck does that?
Yeah, that's probably one of the worst comedy condos I've ever seen.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The original one from Bart Reed.
The El Paso one?
The El Paso original one.
Which one was that one?
The one at the condo.
No. This condo wasn't that bad.
No, it was good, actually.
But which?
Probably the first time I ever went there.
Oh, okay. Maybe. But no, you don't know. I know what it is. Because you went there after. Because I was doing that condo before I even moved to L.A. So you probably got there after when the condo was bad. Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. And but condos are fun because you get to hang out with comics. You just chill there instead of being in your individual room jerking off all fucking day. You know what I mean? Which I don't want nobody to block me from that now. But it's like – but it was fun. You get to go to the mall, go to the movies. You know, anytime – and this is for the people listening. If you're ever in the mall and you see three people that have nothing to do – like you could totally tell they're opposite from each other. Those are the comics in that town that
yes,
weekend.
Yes, people. If you see a black guy walking with two white guys
yeah.
and they're both laughing –
and only one is actually buying shit.
Yes,
that's the headliner.
Comics, yes.
The one buying shit is the headliner.
Oh, you see an Asian guy.
Yeah, it's true, right? Or you see a fucking girl. I don't know.
Only one guy's buying shit.
You see a girl walking around with two guys that don't want to be there. They're comedians.
What do you think about... I had this discussion the other day about female comics. What do you think about female comics now?
I don't think they're all right. I mean, I'm not... What do you think of that Cristela show, bro?
You know what? It was good. I didn't think it was going to stay on the air. The only reason why is because I thought it was too specific. It was too like a George Lopez type of thing. And I don't think she had the backing for that. And she got really upset, dude. I read a couple of her post, man, and you could tell
some
she was
anger
like,
in that motherfucker, huh?
Yeah, there was anger in it. In my mind, I'm like, don't do that, fuck. You want to work again? You know what I mean? But I understand.
It was
it.
Disney.
I get it. I understand it. And it's, but I just think this is the problem, man. I think, like I've always said this, black people are amazing when it comes to supporting black people and supporting their, black artists. Latin people are not like that whatsoever. We're not. And I know why. If we're going to spend $20 now, $15 in a movie, it better be Fast and the Furious or some shit that I know is going to be good.
Epic.
Not Cesar Chavez or the life of the autobiography of, or the biography of fucking so and so. Nobody gives a f- Latinos don't, the only Latinos that really care are the Latinos or the artsy ones. They're the ones that making it. So but the regular Latinos don't give a fuck. And I get it. It's not about lack of support. It's just, it's a different mindset. You know what I mean?
We want Nikes too.
Yeah. It's true. But black people will see black shit. And that's the truth. And that's why they got so much power in the entertainment industry. We don't. And another thing that people go, why don't they make more Latino movies? One of the main reasons is they already have our money. We go to the movies more than any other group ever. We go. And we're already spending the money at the movie theater. Why do they have to risk making a fucking movie about the life of fucking Charo or some shit? You know, they don't. They already have our money. They can't get more of our money. Do you know what I mean? So there's no incentive for Hollywood to make Latin movies. The only way you're going to see a Latin movie out there is if Latin people make it. And if you make a Latin movie, it's got to be where everybody wants to see it. It's got to be like a Robert Rodriguez. If you look at Robert Rodriguez's movies, all of them are really Latin movies. The majority of them are all Latin cast.
Come on, bro. Primos.
Primos? Well, I didn't see Primos.
Or Blood and Blood Out.
No, well, that's different. That's real specific. That's good. But I'm talking about other stuff like Cesar Chavez Garcia didn't Lorca. Do well. Yeah, those things, they just... Those
che
movies
didn't
don't do
good,
well.
Huh? Che?
No, it's just people just don't really dig it. And... The thing is this, Latinos don't go see Latino movies. And not because we don't back each other up. It's because, like I said, if we're going to spend $15 on a movie, I want to see something good, not something just out of pride of my heritage. And that's the truth, unfortunately. That's just the way it is.
Like, I bet you more Latinos went to go see the Fast and the Furious 6 than Cantinflas.
It's true.
There you go.
Yeah. The only ones that I'm telling you, the artsy people, because we all got on our Facebooks. We see all the Latin people, all the artsy Latinos doing this movie, doing this that, and I support them
working
as much as
Fox.
I can. Yeah, but I'm not gonna go see
same Frida poster in the background. Huh?
Yeah, it's true. And like I don't know, I get it, but it's just. Why can't you just make good shit that's good and just put Latinos in it?
Yeah, how about making a movie?
That's a solution.
How about making a movie without a message?
Yes.
Just make it normal, but without
how about something?
Yeah,
exactly.
That's what's missing, huh, fool? It's always have to be about something or, going out of your way. The tortilla and shit.
No, it's true.
Tejin.
Like that movie, I don't know, were you in it too? Everybody was in it except for me. But it was, what is it? The Taco Shop? I knew that wasn't going to do good. That didn't even come out. They didn't even come out. They didn't. It's nowhere.
It's
right
still
now.
In production, bro. Check IMDb, bro. Oh, 216 now.
It's still post production.
I knew it was gonna do good.
But but I know why too.
We have Teen Wolf on it, bro.
Style.
Yeah, they're gonna show everybody young, and then fucking years later, wow, how'd they do that? It's like the Boyhood movie or whatever.
Hollywood's a motherfucker, dog. Nah.
But you know that's like what's his name? Who did that? Was who did that? Who wrote it?
Rick Nahara.
Yeah. Rick
the
is
king of stereotypical shit.
Rick, all his stuff, God bless him, and he means well, and he's a talented dude, but his stuff is very much just that way only. His stuff is stuff that would have been good 20 years ago, not now. You know, and that's the problem. You have to You have to make them. Like I said, Robert Rodriguez is shit. If you look at it, all his movies really are Latin movies, but they don't come out as they don't come up as Latin movies. They're just good movies with a lot of Latin people in them. And I think that's the way, that's what we need to do in Hollywood. Just do, get a lot of Latin people in your shit, but don't make it a Latino movie. Don't have that message of the Latino message, because you're going to turn people off and they're not going to want to watch it.
We need better actors on it.
Don't throw in a person actors. In a movie talking about el movimiento.
No, but or don't do a YouTube video talk. You know, we didn't do the fence. The fence came over us. Remember that? Fuck.
We didn't cross the border. The border crossed. Yeah, Paul Rodriguez goes on stage later at the Laugh Factory.
It was my joke 20 years ago.
I know. Fucking, he's like, I don't want to get into it.
So what's up, man? Besides Grandpa Fred, what else you got going on?
Well, I'm doing, like I said, I'm going to do that sitcom that I'm going to do. I'm going to do a pilot. I don't know what's going to happen to it, but I'm going to make it for sure. And hopefully it does something, man. And then, you know, and just I'm working on other stuff. I'm actually going to be directing a drama where it takes place in Israel and in Palestine. So that's going to be fun.
So you're going over there?
I'm going over there, but only to shoot B-roll, not to shoot the whole movie. The whole movie would be too expensive to shoot there. So
what's a B-roll for?
B-roll is like all the shit like that you'll see. So, for instance, when you see the wall that they use at the checkpoints in Israel, when I show Israel, when I show Palestine, you know, when you have all the establishing shots, all the stuff that I don't need actors to be there for, that's what we're going to shoot. So we're going to go over there, shoot all that, and then come back, shoot it here in L.A., and then, you know, we put that other footage inside the movie. Like, if you look on my YouTube page, I shot some scenes already because we shot a trailer for it already. So I took stock footage and I put it in the movie, and it looks like it's really in the scene, but it's really not. So that's what the B-roll is. So I'm right now they actually paid me to rewrite the script. So I'm rewriting the script, and then once that's written, when that's done, then we're going to fly over there and then shoot all that B-roll and then come back and then shoot the movie. So it'll be cool. And you look Palestinian, dude. I could put you in the movie.
Down, bro.
Dude, you got it. You
I'll be here, man, my friend.
Joey Medina laying it down, dog. Laying it
down, bro. Movie maker. Hell undercover, yeah, man. Undercover boxer.
Man. I could be a movie maker or just an undercover cop pretending to be
Zip
a movie
Ziploc
maker.
Finger guy.
That's right. That's famous, dude. That was. Do you remember that?
Yeah, dude. I'd be all with chicks and shit. That's when we busted it out.
We went to a commercial advertising party. Right, he put a little tux on them.
Like, you know who I am. Let me in, everybody.
You told me one thing about movies, how, like, you know, if you're going to do a movie, when you write your script, don't be writing that shit with special effects and big.
Yeah. Write it cheap.
There you go. Simple shit.
Because that's what happens. Like, okay, one of the reasons I'm rewriting the script that I wrote now is this guy, it's going to be a small budget. It's less than $500,000. And so the guy wrote the script. I mean, it's first of all, it's 120 pages. Now, for people that don't know, usually the rule of thumb is every page is a minute. Damn. So, and every time, every page is extra money you spend. Even if it's the same characters, even if it's the same thing, you're still spending money on that page. So you want to write a shorter script, like maybe 60 or 90 pages, I'm sorry. And then you want to take all the shit out of there that's going to be expensive. There's no reason, for instance, if there's a conversation in the script that you and I could have in our house, there's no reason we need to be at the fucking amusement park to have this conversation. Now we got to close down the amusement park, and now we got to get cameras on the roller coaster. And now, like, there's no fucking reason to do that.
They were on top of the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, exactly. There's no reason to do that.
Sorry, man. So, we're just shooting in Glendale.
At sundown.
No, it was when I shot the trailer for this movie, it's called Devil's David's Crucifix. I shot 9 scenes, or part of 9 scenes, at a studio in Chatsworth, right? And so I'm looking around at all the sets that they have. And I'm like, okay, I have to make it work. So I'm like, okay, instead of a house, it'll be at a hospital. And instead of a restaurant, it'll be a bar, because that's the sets that they had. So that's how, and then that's the way I shot it. Because otherwise, for them to build, you know, a bedroom set would have cost me money. So I'll just shoot whatever set they had there, you know. So it's kind of like, that's the kind of shit you do. And, you know, I learned that again. I learned when I was making El Matador, man, I learned a lot of shit. Even though it doesn't look it when you watch it. It's so low. I'm
watch
so
it on Netflix, people.
Watch it on Netflix.
You guys didn't see trust what I felt.
My acting debut, people.
That's right, Felipe. There's the scene where you guys were chasing that guy. You guys holding up your pants, and then you had the cigarette.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun, man. It was really fun making it, but it was hard making it. And I look at it now. I was so proud of it, man. Yeah, you know what it is? I feel like a parent who had like my first kid. I'm really proud of him, but then I didn't realize he's retarded. You know? And then later on, I have like three normal kids. I'm like, oh fuck, man, first one sucks. You know, yeah. I'm like, he's the one that you keep in the attic when there's people over. You don't want to show him off to nobody.
Go back to your room.
Well, check it out, people. El Matador on Netflix, starring Gabriel Iglesias, Joy Medina, Paul Rodriguez, Oliver Mundo, Marilyn Martinez, Brad Williams.
Yes, Marilyn Martinez.
Tana Kim.
Yes, everybody was in the
film.
Emilio Rivera.
Martin Moreno was in it. Benny Mena.
You know what, Rosa?
What's going on, dog?
Benny Mena was in it.
Pops
was in it.
Armando.
Yeah, dude, fuck, everybody was in it. Everybody. Oh, my, fuck, that's when you got no money. That's what you got to do. Like,
you have any days coming down on the road? Performing the Laugh Factory soon? Anywhere?
Yeah, I'm going to be doing Off the Hook Comedy Club in Fort Myers coming up. I'm also doing Harvey's in Portland coming up. Also in November and December, I'm doing Bangkok and I'm doing Malaysia. So that's going to be fun, you know.
You're going to Off the Hook Comedy Club in Fort Myers? Did we go there?
Yeah,
they just changed the restaurant.
Yeah, you're going to have fun there, man. We have a friend over there named Del Pizzo.
So did you do the new one?
Del Pizzo.
Did you do the new one?
It's weird, bro.
It's like you're at those modern, you know, in the mall.
The green room. Look at the green room at Wild Coyotes.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Exactly.
So do they give you still free seafood?
No, bro. Ain't that place.
No. But he's a restaurant. It's a restaurant now still,
yeah,
right?
But no.
There's issues. Oh, no,
you were there, right?
Yeah.
What happened?
I don't know. You have to fuck.
Oh, so you went to the other one, Marco Island.
Yeah, that's the only one
that
I've been
place
on.
Was good.
That was fucking
oh,
good.
Oh, my God. People, if you're listening right now, man, I was eating a lot of fish back then. It was good.
And it was free.
Ahi tuna.
I was going there every fucking day. Oysters, fucking everything.
Doing the town.
And then he hooked us up with the jet skis to go swimming with the dolphins or riding with the dolphins or whatever. That was fun.
No, man, I didn't get that.
Okay. So you don't like. So.
Oh, we got with that Pizzo. No, we're talking about back in the day. No, not now. It's not there.
No,
anymore.
It's not like that.
No, sports bar now.
Oh, it's a sports bar. So you don't do seafood. Ah, fuck it.
All they right. do seafood, but nah, man. It was like, you got to ask. There's a man there named Del Pizzo. He's like, he runs it. And he'll get all your food for you and take care of you. He'll fight for whatever you want.
Yeah, cool. He's like a fucking attorney over there for you.
You know what club I really like? It's called Home Field. It's in Miami. It used to be the Improv for like a week or something.
Yeah.
Dude, that club is nice. They treat you really good. The whole. Have you did?
Yeah, it was there.
Wasn't it awesome? Yeah, the hotel's right there. Yeah. It's like everything's. I'm like, this is nice.
It's across the street.
Yeah, it's across the street. They bought me cigars. I'm like, fuck, this is awesome. Yeah, it was.
You go to Tampa too?
No, not yet.
Pittsburgh. Mm. Pittsburgh's fun.
I want to go to Pittsburgh. I mean, I love the East Coast, man. I want to do more of the East Coast.
Yeah, man. What's up, Fool Rodrigo? Your show's coming up, Fool.
Dabbed out. Yeah, fucking August 14th at the Ice House, Stage 2.
Nice.
With the Juan Garcia.
I'll be there tomorrow, yeah.
Armando Cosillo hosting. Give a full guest spot. And me, man, at the end, man.
Yeah, man. What's up, people, man? Don't forget, man, if you ever want to buy anything from Amazon, just go to my webpage. And go. We have a little Amazon search bar. And just go through there, man, and that's where we get paid, or we don't get nothing.
Okay, well, hold on. I forgot. I was going to bring something up. I have a bone with Rodrigo. I need to talk to him about. We'll do this on the air.
Yes, man.
Right here. I forgive him, but it bothers me.
Kick your ass, man.
I'll. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I'll start.
He crank called you.
Here I am.
No,
I did a tour like 2 years ago. 2 years or a year ago. 2 years
ago? No, it was like 2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago. Where I hit up all these cities, right? I hit up, countries. I was in Singapore, Vietnam, Malaysia, Indonesia, and Thailand maybe. So anyway, so I get to the gig in Vietnam, right? And it's at a Hard Rock thing. And they did comedy there before, but I didn't know this. The interview guy, the guys interviewed me, they go, how does it feel being the first American comedian to perform in Vietnam? I'm like, what? He goes, no, you were the first comic from America to perform here. I'm like, dude, that's fucking awesome. So the next day, I'm really proud of it, right? I'm having breakfast at the hotel, and I put it on Facebook or Twitter. And this motherfucker has to go do research. And instead of just going, hey, man, I'm proud of you, good for you. Like, well, you know, technically, according to the statistics, Bob Hope was there.
Troll,
I was so pissed. I'm like, what?
I didn't know Bob Hope was there.
No, I knew that, but it doesn't count. Like, okay, I'll give you an example. Have you done USO gigs?
No.
Okay, I've performed in Japan for the. I never tell people I've performed in Japan because I've done it on military bases. So to me, it doesn't count. It's like, it's not like I perform in Japan. Because when you tell somebody, hey, I perform in Japan, you expect that you're performing for them. Like if the military base is that, like, eh. So I never say, I go, yo, I perform for the troops in Japan. So like Bob Hope performed in Vietnam on the land, but for the troops. So it wasn't really, he wasn't, and this wasn't even me coming up with this. It was the newspaper, right? So, and I even looked it up again before I came here today. I'm like, I want to make sure I got my facts right. So, I'm gonna fucking talk to this motherfucker, dude. But you don't understand. He's like he's shitting on my parade. I'm like, seriously, dude. All these thousands of miles away.
Fuck that. We're gonna have a parade for you, dog.
He was a POW with McCain, bro.
You don't understand. You don't understand. I felt exactly like the U.S. troops coming back to America. I was in so.
You baby killer.
Okay, Rodrigo's got to come out with facts. I'm like, this nigga, that's why I told myself, well, this motherfucker did research. Like, he just didn't, hey, no, Joey, you know, by the way, I think. He was quoting from Wikipedia or some shit.
You know what it was, dude? It
shit.
Was from a stand-up comedy book that I fucking, I was like, oh, six, what the fuck? Nah, dude. Like, like I'm sorry, dog.
No, so I forgive
you. Please forgive me, bro.
But like even Johnny Sanchez something like I remember like on the thing Johnny said something but then he was joking about Bob Hope and like ah ha ha but then this guy was like you could tell like his tone was very serious like he was trying to
it was in all caps.
He was like trying to be a professor with a fucking spreadsheet and a fucking you know I'm like god damn really dude?
I know that when Gary Iglesias came out with that baseball card the first fat guy in a baseball card then Rodrigo wrote it was Babe Ruth.
See, that's just like, he's like the guy who stole comedy, dude. It's just stuff. Let people have their little. Now, look, you can talk about Ernie G. All
Rodrigo,
you want.
Oh, fuck, Rodrigo be at Grandpa Freddy's show. He's not really 80, bro. You all been fooled.
Technically, rigor mortis can't make your pussy tighter.
I have a doctor right here, by the way, Dr. B. Chump.
Oh my Instead God. Of blinding with science, it's like heckled with science. Damn, he heckled me with science.
Science, cocksucker.
So you were undercover in Vietnam, huh?
I was undercover.
As a comedian.
I was the first undercover in Vietnam. God,
hilarious.
Dude, I swear to God, I was like, oh, motherfucker.
Man, the funniest joke I heard you say, man, was the one where when you did your first tour at for the troops and you came back, you said you were in Beirut. And then you were singing, the roof is down.
Oh, it's fire. They all ran out. And I was like, who let the curbs out?
No, he was partying, man. The roof is on fire in Beirut. And everybody ran.
Yeah, like, no, it's not really on fire. It's a song. No, because I actually got out of the base to do that.
Bro, come on, bro. Talk about Charlene Bronson.
Oh, my God. Somebody brought that up to me the other day. I forgot all about it. I used to put on a wig. And
with pigtails, right?
Yeah, with pigtails. And I would do an impression of Charles Bronson's sister, Charlene Bronson.
Hard times, eh? Charlene Bronson.
Dude, she's a mechanic.
I would put a beanie first, like Charles Bronson.
No, did I?
No, you put a beanie on and pretend you're Charles Bronson, then do his sister.
Oh, okay. It was like one of the first jokes ever. It was just, it was stupid, but people liked it. I'm like, all right, fuck it, I'll do it. It was just stupid. But Ernie's doing it now.
He does Caitlyn Jenner,
bro.
No, that's too hip. No, dude, it was. I don't know. What was your? Do you remember your first joke?
My first joke was, I think it was, I'm gonna come and learn a new movie. Not the Last of the Mohicans, the Last of the Mojados.
Well, that's cute.
And then, but the joke I very liked was the one that they stole from you, bro. King Tut, he literally
Ernie stole from me.
That shit's funny, man.
And it's funny. Ernie said this to me. He goes, he does. I get
Neto
calls from
Beto.
I get calls from me. All these comics. Hey, Ernie just did your joke. So I talk to Ernie at the Laugh Factory when I go. He goes, no, dude, it's not your joke. It's like your joke. I'm like, serious?
I only tweet about it.
I'm like, this motherfucker. Oh, it's just.
Did you go to a show and catch that fool slipping?
Oh, we were all there.
Yeah. No, but. Yeah, that night it was all there. But he's, dude, I don't know what it is. Like, there's not very many people in this world that I fucking haven't, like, that irk me? Not many. Like, I think one, and that's him. And it's just like, it's some, you know, he's like what Hitler is to Jews. He's like that to me. He's like something, he just, He called me the other day. I don't know. Fuck, I don't know. I think I'm going to get cancer.
Forgive me, bro.
What's up, fool?
Oh, hell yeah, dog.
Yeah, man. So, man, we got Joey Medina in the house.
Hell yeah, dog.
Where can people find you at? Your webpage?
JoeyMedina.com. Also, my Instagram and Twitter is the same. It's Joey Medina Comic. Joey Medina Comic. And then my Facebook is Joey Medina Fan Page. So you can check me out there. And check out my podcast, The Joey Medina Show, on iTunes and Stitcher.
And I was a guest on his podcast, people. Yes. So listen to my episode.
And Ray Lean, too.
You know, that's what I love
he
about
podcasts. Ray Lean, too, yes, the porn star.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the things I love about podcasts. There's no competition. Because podcasts, you listen to whenever you want. You know, and it's you get to say what you want to say. You get to, you know, it could be the show you want to show. And I think podcasts really talk to people. Because you know how it is. I've done radio, and you've been on radio shows and stuff. It's not the same, man. It's you get a fake version of who you are. You know what I mean? But a podcast, you get the real version of who the person is. Because you're out there, you're just hanging out and just chilling and shit. And have you ever wanted to do something on your podcast that was really serious? Like something ever bothered you? Like, fuck, I'm going to talk about this.
Oh, we did it last week, man.
Really? What was it? What was it?
We left no names.
No stone unturned.
We talked about me being a drug addict and wanting to do more drugs right now and then how hard it is not to do drugs.
So still to
you
this
saw
day,
me when I used to be fucked up? No, right?
Yeah, no.
You didn't
no,
see
no.
me all drunk, huh?
Not drug, but high, real high, but that's fucking normal.
Yeah, that's normal, yeah.
But drunken, too. Before you did drink before, you know? And then, but then there was a while there that you stopped doing weed altogether for a long time.
Yeah, I did, man. And then Freddie Soto died, and then I was back.
Yeah. Yeah, and then he died, and then what did Ernie G do? Try to get all his bookings.
That was a scandalous-ass thing. He did that shit in El Paso, right?
Yeah. That's the kind of cat that he is, man.
I know him, bro.
And this is the thing. I never talked about people's behind people's back, but this is something I would say to him, all the shit. And actually, I'm dying to. But like, I think I'm going to just burst open. I want to hold it in. But but it's like, because I know me, once I start talking, it's hard for me to stop. So it's like, it's just, I hate fuckers. I remember one time, it was me, him, and Willie. And Willie and I were talking to him. It was the Ice House. And we're like, dude, if you worked as hard on your act as you do promoting yourself, you'd be the funniest dude in the world. And he's like, oh, the jokes will come later. I'm like, who the fuck says that?
Fuck, dude.
Damn.
Who says that?
The joke will come later, bro.
Don't listen to somebody. They keep writing for me. But so last week you talk shit about a lot of people?
Yeah.
Fuck, I better listen just in case you talked about me.
But we cut you.
Full clips, dog.
No, we didn't talk much about people, man.
Just the truth,
people
though.
That block us on Twitter. You've been blocked by comedians?
I don't know. I don't think so.
All right, check, bro. Look.
How do you find that out?
You go to try to go to their page and you can't go to their page.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, man. So you can't follow them. But yeah, I have another page.
My
brother Angel Esparza just got an Instagram.
He loves you.
What's up, fool? Yeah, man. I'm going to be at the Addison Improv, August 6th through the 9th, Wise Guys Comedy Club in Utah, two nights, August 14th and 15th. Brea Improv, August 2023. Hera Resort. I'll be in Hera Resort in California with Alonzo Bowden, winner of Last Comic Standing. That fan, Jimmy Schubert. And also, man, if you go look at that flyer, I'm in that flyer, man, even though there's no photo on it. I'm still on the show. They fucked up the photo, bro. I'm in a fucking blank. No, I'm not even in a photo.
Oh, really?
Just my name is there in a blank spot. Like, I'm going to be replaced.
That's fucked up. Man, as long as you get paid, fuck it. Who cares?
Yeah, man.
That's the thing. Once you start doing stand-up for a while, man, you're like, I don't give a fuck about any of that stuff. Like, I don't care about going on
radio.
First, last, radio. Like, I'm like, I'll do radio only because I know that's important to the thing, and I want to look professional. But, like, I don't care about, like, oh, my name isn't that big, or why is my picture small? Like, I don't care about any of that
no
stuff.
No photo.
Anymore. Well, I mean, that's insulting, but you're like, ah, fuck it, you know what I mean? Or even worse, somebody going, hey, you weren't the first guy performing in fucking Vietnam.
It wasn't
that's
you, even bro. The worst. It was Bruce Lee. What's up, fool, Rodrigo? What you got?
Chilling,
any
man.
Any more questions for Joy Medina, bro?
Nah, dog. Well, you were one of the first podcasters, too, though, right?
Yeah.
And an album, comedy album.
Yeah. My album. Because when I had my album, that guy, what's his name, was doing everybody's album.
David Drozen?
Yeah. And then I remember he was going to do Ernie's. And I'm like, fuck that shit. If he does Ernie's and not mine, this is bullshit. So then I'm like, so then I was doing a gig at the 4th and B. And you know how it is. They paid like nothing. I forgot what it was.
$200.
Yeah, it was horrible.
$100. And that paid was 1,700 people.
Yeah. So, but I said, you know what? What I'll do is I'll record my CD there in front of a whole fucking 1,700 people, and it'll kick ass. So that's what I did. And I recorded. I produced it myself. I did it all myself. And I'm still getting money from fucking Sound Exchange for
that's
that.
Good, huh? CD.
Hell still yeah. To this day, dude. So I'm like, fuck yeah.
$200 a month helps.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it does. I don't know much. In the beginning, it was good. Now it's not as good.
The beginning was good, huh? That was a long ass.
Ridiculous.
So if you guys don't have the album, Below the Belt, eh?
Below the Belt, people.
Go to Pandora.
You had that guy open up that bomb, right, bro?
Yeah, yeah. What's his name?
He got booed, bro.
Yeah, it was Fernando.
Fernando Verduzco.
Poor Fernando.
What did you say, man, when he was bombing so hard?
I go.
He got booed right away, huh? 1,700 people booed him.
What did he whip out? Santa Cholo?
Then he did a thing with a... A carrot. He's just always
a tortilla, bro.
It's a tortilla, yeah. So,
no, he would like look at the audience and throw a tortilla at them, and then go to the couple. Maybe next time, man, if you don't want it, you could wrap this tortilla around his penis.
That would. Oh my god.
And then he'll take out the carrot. Maybe you could satisfy yourself with this, and then he'll put on the black sunglasses,
Santa Cholo, Santa Cholo.
And then he'll put on the Santa hat and he'll be, orale, welcome to Santa Cholo.
And I remember one time he told me, he goes, I said, dude, that's a horrible joke. Stop doing it. He goes, oh, no, it's the season. I'm like, it's never the season for that joke, ever. It could be Christmas Day. It's still not the season for that fucking joke.
Did this fool say something funny as hell to Ruben Quintana one time about that chick? Hey, honey, the only fat on you is Ruben Quintana.
Oh, yeah.
That's good lines, dog.
Yeah, yeah. And I use that. I used to recycle all that shit.
Yeah, man. So you're not married anymore?
No.
You've been married twice, right?
No, three times.
Damn.
Yeah, no. But
one was undercover. It didn't count, huh?
Yeah, it's true. It was fake. She married somebody else. Wasn't my name.
Dude, before we go, man, real quick, man. Did you read that story about that woman? That the whole time a federal agent was watching her and lived with her, and the whole time he was a federal agent, got her pregnant, bro, but he was supposed to be watching her. And the whole time he was just watching her for the feds, and he already had another wife.
Oh, shit.
What the fuck
That's
happened,
deep,
bro?
Deep cover.
It's in England, bro. He was really? deep cover.
Deep cover.
All she got was $600,000 from the state, but this federal agent was watching her. Became her husband, met her, and all that. Totally infiltrated her life. Bro, and they don't even know why, bro.
Oh, wow.
Did you ever do shit like that, bro? Infiltrate somebody's life, and then later on, through the cuffs?
Yes and no. I mean, that's the nature of undercover work. You know, you got to get into there. But I never went so far as to marrying somebody. Like, I became friends with people who didn't know I was a cop, and now I'm still friends to this day, and now they know I used to be a cop.
We ate at their house.
Oh, yeah, Dean, my friend Dean.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So, pot dealer, right?
Yeah, yeah, sold pot. But, like, I never got him in trouble because I liked him. So it was like...
It was cool, bro. Cool white boy.
Yeah. He liked him, and I never got him in trouble.
We had good food.
Yeah, yeah, and he's a great guy, man. I love him to this very day. We're like family. You know, and
tell him I said hello if he's still alive.
Yeah, they live in Arizona.
Then the old guy, the old Latin, the old Chicano guy that was in the army, the old Mexican guy that was there with him too.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I wasn't really close to them, but like his friends.
Yeah, man.
But he was a cool cat. But so yeah, when you do that kind of thing, I remember the first time I told him I was a cop. I was with, because he knew my wife at the time, so we all had dinner, and I'm like, dude, I got to tell you something, and it felt weird. Like it was like I'm a cop.
I'm a cop.
And my name is this. It's like, it was weird. It was just like, it's really awkward.
Wow, there should be a movie about that, bro.
It's like telling somebody I'm married. You know, like,
sorry, man. I know I'm having dinner here, and we've been laughing, but I'm a cop. I could really shut all this shit down.
It's like a chameleon.
I could ruin your life, but now I'm not.
But it's funny though. Like people who used to think I was like knew that I was a cop. Like some, but back in Arizona, not here. When I first started doing stand-up, they didn't trust me because they thought I was fucking still a cop. I'm like, dude, come on, really? Like, ooh, I'm going to bust the fucking your weed? Like, come on, who gives a fuck? Like, it was just so weird. But yeah, like there was, I forgot who it was this guy. I don't know. There was a comic named Butch Lord. Do you remember?
No.
You don't. He was really good friends with Pablo. He probably still is. And he was a kind of rough hippie looking kind of guy. Da, da, da. And always fucking avoided me, man, because he thought I was a cop still. I'm like, dude, I'm not a fucking cop. You know, that would be a good trick, but no.
Damn. So what's up, fool? We got Joy Medina in the house, man. Yeah. Joy, man, thank you for doing our podcast.
Dude, thanks for having me, man. I know
I fucked
up. We're going
to have you back, bro.
I fucked up once. I'm supposed to be on here, and I didn't lie, though, right? At least I didn't lie. I didn't go, oh, my car broke down. I just said, I forgot. I fucked up.
I overslept.
No, and I didn't even overslept. There was shit happening. You know, sometimes I just didn't write it down. And I knew how to do it, and I just, I didn't fucking focus.
I didn't fucking focus,
and I fucked up.
You were like, yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
What's up, Joey?
But then it hit me when I put it to my head. I'm like, oh, fuck. And I'm like, oh.
People don't know that, man. Joey Medina used to have a fake manager and agent. When he moved.
Joseph Ross.
He used to call up in the number, and it's Joseph Ross, and he had a tape of music in the background that was all typewriters.
Yes, it was sound effects, but it was an office, a busy office.
If you can have an office, it has to be fucking busy, dog.
But it was all typewriters in the background. People were probably going, "What the fuck? What kind of office still uses typewriters?"
Central Intelligence,
fucking fax machine playing in the background.
It's my FBI friends.
Oh, let me go onto the internet.
Joy Medina and I went to an audition, bro, and they wanted somebody with a long ass beard. And this fool had no beard. No one. I mean, I had a beard, and I told him, bro, don't you know it's for a guy with a beard? This fool went to the front desk, borrowed a Sharpie, and painted a beard. Painted a beard in an 8x10. Like a soldier, bro. Hustling since day one, people. You gotta be like Joy Medina, people. If you want something, just fucking grab it, man. Some of you guys would have saw, oh, they want a guy with a beard. I don't have a beard. I'm gonna just go home. Fuck that. That motherfucker started painting that shit. Oh, this is a Sharpie I used for a Ziploc finger. Remember me, lady? What's up, Joy Medina, man? Grandpa Fred, check him out, man.
That's right.
All right, fool.
Thank you, guys. Dude, thanks for having me on the show, man. I've been dying to do it, so it's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. What's up, dog?